Can you just say it's kind of weird that the president of the United States has bragged repeatedly about grabbing women because they let you do it?
Okay, another important thing to keep in mind is that when did Trump do all these things that he's being accused of? Was he a Republican or was he a known Democrat?
Does his ideology...
What?
Is there any analog to the Biden administration sending out open posts to the Attorney General Merrick Garland asking people to be indicted?
Nope. I honestly am not completely knowledgeable on what exactly...
Oh, I just don't know. I haven't heard about it. I don't know about that one.
You know about Trump coin, right?
I do.
Are you okay with Trump coin?
I'm not sure that's on him.
It is on him.
It's called Trump coin. What? I'm not sure that's on him. It's his name. What? Did he really just say that? Did he really just... No shot! Did he just say something so crazy?
My name is Adam Mockler. I talk politics on YouTube every single day, and I am a liberal college dropout. Today, I'm surrounded by 20 conservative college students. My first claim is, Trump is causing a rise of fascism in our generation.
Yeah, but they like fascism, so...
Hey, Adam, I'm Scotty. Nice to meet you, Scotty. Hey, would you mind unpacking a little bit more what you mean by rise?
The rise of fascism, yeah. Over the past decade, we've seen a normalization
of
more fascist, anti-democratic ideologies.
You didn't even tell me you were watching a video. I hope that you and this guy never talk again. I want him to know who the real you is, and then that's it. This is the one thing. I want him to come out and disown you harder than you've ever been disowned in your entire life. I want you to think about jumping out the window you get disowned so hard. You stupid. Go back and enjoy your video self.
Got him.
Trump's claim to fame entering U.S. politics. He was famous before this, but he entered U.S. politics by saying Obama wasn't famous. The rise of fascism, yeah. Over the past decade, we've seen a normalization of more fascist, anti-democratic ideologies. Just to explain, Trump's claim to fame entering U.S. politics. He was famous before this, but he entered U.S. politics by saying Obama wasn't born in America. He convinced a large swath of the country that Obama was not born in America. 4 years later, he was chanting lock her up at a political rally, and no presidential candidate had done that before. 4 years after that, he had coup the government, or at least attempted to coup the government. And now,
we are in a new era of libs, okay? I call them the example libs, okay? Don't just speak about concept or theory. Just give examples, because, man, with Trump, you can just run it the f*** down. And it is really hard to argue against.
In the city of Chicago, he's posted AI memes of Chicago being invaded. He sent the military into Chicago. So over the past, like I say, decade and a half, we've seen a normalization of fascism in America. And I think it's manifesting in our generation in unique ways. We can talk about the Politico story, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I would say let's talk a little bit more about what fascism actually is.
Because
I
think fascism now
is
let's
a
move.
Loaded term.
What's your definition?
And when I get there, but I would say when you attach fascism to Trump's name, that is a slap in the face to all the Jews who are exterminated under fascist law.
Fascism doesn't just have to do with Jews. Donald Trump is absolutely...
No, it was Hitler. When you think of fascism, you think of two people. You think of Hitler and you think of Mussolini, who killed millions and millions of people. Trump is not that.
What's your definition of fascism?
I would say fascism is one person or one party who is silencing and who is demeaning and who is, I guess you would say, you know, opposing and silencing any other opposition.
It's kind of right.
I know it's more nuanced to that.
I'd say a better definition is a far-right authoritarian ideology with one leader at the top with a cult of personality who forcibly suppresses opposition, as you said, but at the same time, he erodes democratic norms and there's hyper-militarization involved, military in the streets. Do you disagree with any of that?
I agree with you that Trump did send in the National Guard right to Chicago.
Which one of those descriptions does not describe Trump? Out of all those terms.
I would say that Trump... I guess you say, what are his motives behind doing this?
You were pressing me on the definition of fascism.
Okay. There's always like another layer of conversation to retreat to for Trumples, right? So like, let's say that we define a rapist as a person who rapes somebody. And it's like, okay, well, why would we say that this person is a rapist? Well, here's a video of them. Someone. It's like, whoa, okay, hold on. Well, let's define, like, what do we mean by rape? Well, when you forcibly insert something into somebody without their consent. Like, okay, wait. When you say forcibly... Did he punch them? Like, when we say force, well, the person didn't want... Okay, so he didn't really force, right? Like, he didn't, like, knock them out, right? Well, there was, like, he held them down. It's like, okay, but, like, when you normally have sex, aren't your hands on the person and you kind of keep them still a little bit, right? It's like, not really. It's like, wait. When you say consent, so, like, all consent isn't, like, you say the word yes every single... And it's like, every single argument becomes the most infinite, nihilistic obfuscation is like the most epistemically nihilistic position possible, where no word means anything and you can debate on every like topic because you just have to back up and go to some other part of the... It's so annoying, and it's so unserious. It's such a deeply unserious way to approach any of the conversations. Like, bro,
I gave you a few qualities. Which of those qualities does not describe Trump?
Say those qualities one more time.
It is a far-right authoritarian ideology with one leader at the top who is a cult of personality. He forcibly suppresses opposition. They like hyper-militarization.
Okay, so forcibly, I disagree with forcibly doing that. Give me an example right now about forcibly.
You know, a really good example is lately Jimmy Kimmel was taken off air by the FCC.
I knew we were going to go here with Jimmy Kimmel.
I knew we were going to there. But do you have proof that Donald Trump told the FCC commissioner to restrict those... Okay, well, just because he said it doesn't mean that he necessarily... that Trump did it. Like, sorry.
No. That's not. Did you hear? You know who the FCC commissioner is?
Yes. Okay.
Who is?
No, I actually don't know exactly who this is, but I know
it is Brendan Carr. So if you don't know who it is, then you might not know that Brendan Carr said in an interview, "We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way." It was essentially a mobster threat. Other than that, Donald Trump has attacked law firms. He has attacked universities. Jimmy Kimmel might not be the best example because he's a late night show host, but it's a glaring example.
I get it.
Yeah.
Right. I would disagree with you. And what do you mean by like forcibly? Right. Because.
I pre-watched. To be fair, I was late today because I pre-watched. I'm sorry. I did pre-watch this whole thing. I did. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry for doing that today, but what, you know. Bruh.
Fascism to Trump, right? When we attach fascism, we attach that to Hitler and Mussolini. Jimmy Kimmel, him taking Jimmy Kimmel, he didn't have anything direct to do with taking Jimmy Kimmel off of air. The reason why Jimmy Kimmel got taken off of air is because nobody likes Jimmy Kimmel. I've maybe last three or four times said Jimmy Kimmel. He's not that funny.
Let's talk about the word forcibly then. Forcibly doesn't mean through violence. It could be using the state, using the government or your position of power to try to suppress the opposition. Donald Trump has spent his entire political career acting like the Democratic Party shouldn't exist. You know Act Blue, the fundraising
Biden
pact?
And Obama have done the same things. What are you talking about? It's not about forcibly.
Let me ask you,
what has Trump done?
Do
he forcibly removed the opposition.
Okay.
He's spoken against the press.
Yeah. Can I ask
every
you a
president has done that of all time. They've spoken against the opposition press.
What?
But that doesn't mean he's forcibly removed somebody from that position.
Last month, Donald Trump sent out a Truth Social post towards Pam Bondi. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
He said, "Pam, I want you to indict these three people and move fast."
True.
What happened
Good
is
examples.
Eric Siebert, the federal prosecutor from the Eastern District of Virginia, then was forced to resign, forcibly resign, not through violence, but through pressure. Then you see two of the three people that Donald Trump named indicted for random stuff. You have Letitia James, and then you have James Comey, who got indicted. We
and
also
Bolton.
Saw John Bolton indicted. Can I ask you, is indicting your political opponents for speaking up against
they
you?
They did
indicted?
The exact same.
Wait, am I? Or did he? Did Bolton? Was Bolton indicted? Or did I know this? His house was raided. Yeah, but was there an indictment released for him? Oh, they did. Wait, were all three? He was the first one. Oh, maybe I just forgot then. Oh, so then all three of those people were indicted. Letitia James for the mortgage stuff. Bolton for, I don't remember what his indictment was for. And then and then Comey. So all three of them were. Nice. What a reliable authoritative or authoritarian dictator.
Things to Trump.
The
left party, the Democratic Party, has
a grand jury in New York.
They tried to. No.
When they went after Trump or the IRS slot meme.
See, now we're getting into, you know, those very things where they used political power to go after
did
Trump
Biden
because
ever
they were afraid of him. They were afraid of what he was going to do to America.
Did Biden ever
right?
tweet at his attorney general and say, hey, Merrick Garland?
No,
because Biden wasn't even in charge of the presidency.
Okay, so Biden
he was not even making those things.
Boss. Sorry, you've been eliminated by the majority.
So, no,
that was great. I love that.
Man.
It was great to meet you, Scotty.
Deep state.
Sadie, nice to meet you, Madam.
So I want to touch on your forcible suppression of the opposition as defining fascism. So in my understanding, I think that the leftist party is assassinating conservatives. So we're talking about Charlie Kirk's assassination. We're writing engraving on the bullets, catch fascist. I think that shows more of a fascism
leftist
over here.
Can you define what you mean by leftist party?
Turbo pump disassembled in game gives you three springs. Disassembled out of game gives you a mechanical component and three. Oh, what? What?
Fascism. So in my understanding, I think that the leftist party is assassinating conservatives. So we're talking about Charlie Kirk's assassination. We're writing engraving on the bullets, catch fascist. I think that shows more of fascism
leftist,
over here.
Can you define what you mean by leftist party? Because I think that conservatives are very good at individual responsibility. And when you're placing the blame on an entire party because one 22-year-old dude killed somebody, which is obviously tragic.
White, Mormon, 22, raised Christian, MAGA family, by the way. If any of these one things had gone in the other direction, they would call him a leftist. And the only thing they have are all of the pop media references that he posted on his stupid bullet. He didn't even shoot him with a fascist bullet, by the way. Is this stupid quote from this dumb video game, okay? Because Helldivers is for losers, all right?
Then what do you mean by leftist party?
Yeah, so we have Kamala Harris calling Trump supporters fascist, Biden calling Trump supporters fascist. When you have these big leaders calling individuals fascist, and then that is getting tagged on to conservatives as a whole.
By the way, when you call somebody a fascist, that counts as being basically assassinating them. But when you say this person should be tried and executed, that's just saying you want to go through the legal process. Good one.
So I think that the leftist party is actually very good about saying one thing about one person, and then this is getting spread to everyone.
So
back to what I'm saying about Charlie Kirk. So when Charlie Kirk got assassinated saying catch fascist, I think that's a very good example of fascism. And then you want to talk about the
Can I ask you, is your position that people in power should not be calling the opposition party fascists or Gestapo or
Hitler?
Uh-oh. Donald Trump.
Oh, you saw Kai nodding his head back there. Uh-oh. Hit him up with the Trump said it. Hit him up.
In power should not be calling the opposition party fascists or Gestapo or Hitler.
Donald Trump
called Kamala Harris and Joe Biden a fascist a dozen times throughout the campaign trail. He called them Gestapo, and only one politician has called Donald Trump Hitler, and it's J.D. Vance, his vice president.
And which party has that stuck to? That stuck to conservatives.
Maybe because they act more like that than the Democrats do.
Fascism has stuck to conservatives consistently. You have all this violence on college campuses saying that they're calling Turning Point Target Practice USA.
That's messed
posting
up.
Photos of us with red X's on
That's
our face,
okay.
with dots on our neck. So how are you to
Who's
say?
Who's they, though? Like random unhinged people? Do you think unhinged
random
people
unhinged
on both sides?
Where are are all the assassinations then? Where are all of the shootings? Where is all of this? It seems like it's not sticking very hard, no?
Random unhinged.
Do you think unhinged right-wing supporters exist or no?
Absolutely. I think there's some on both sides, but that's why I'm saying you can't say forcible suppression of the opposition is tagged only onto Trump because that's coming from the left side as well.
Okay, let me ask you then. I'm going to ask you the question, Scotty. When Donald Trump sent a True Social post with three names in the post, and two of those names have been indicted over the past month, is there any analog to the Biden administration sending out open posts to the Attorney General Merrick Garland and asking people to be indicted?
Nope.
I honestly am not completely knowledgeable on what exactly.
Oh, I just don't know. I haven't heard about it. I don't know about that one.
Okay, so Donald Trump has spent the past 9 months in office trying to consolidate power among every single institution. Not just by appointing loyalists, but by trying to target law firms that are Democratic, universities, Act Blue, which is the main fundraising pack for the Democratic Party, has recently been, they're investigating, trying to sue them because they want to take down any mechanism that helps the Democratic Party.
So let's talk about universities.
Is that forcibly suppressing the opposition party when you're trying to?
I don't know if I'd exactly say forcible suppression. It depends on exactly how you're saying it. Because like we were saying, when you were attaching the term fascist, you're talking about Nazis. You're talking about specifically Nazis. And when they say oppression.
Not just Nazis.
I'm saying specifically for what I'm saying. The suppression of the opposition, when they're calling Trump Hitler, they're calling conservatives.
Who's they? J.D. Vance?
I'm sorry. Leftists. When the leftists.
Which leftist politician? Can you name one?
I think you're moving the goalpost.
Wait, no, can you name one?
You're moving the goalpost. What do you mean? Do I have to name one? Hello? Have you not seen what conservatives are pointing out on Twitter? Idiot.
Leftist politician who has called Trump Hitler.
Nope.
It's every single, it's like,
so
not, oh, it's every single one. So it should be easy to name one, right? I love when people do it. This is one of the most common debate meme things I run into where somebody says, there's so many examples of this. Oh, can you give me one? Oh, it's like all of them. Oh, okay. Well, then just name one. It was like all of them. One example then.
Bring this out when no leftist politicians have actually called
Trump. And you're
Trump
throwing
Hitler.
Out the term fascism.
Is saying that an election was stolen when it wasn't fascism? Wait, do you think the 2020 election was stolen?
Yes.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know because I'm not.
I don't know. I'm obnoxious. Agnostic, not obnoxious, but obnoxious too.
Honestly,
this proves my point. Trump is causing a rise of fascism in our generation. I would never say that you're a fascist, but I think there's a normalization of an ideology where people are denying elections. You don't even know if the 2020 election was stolen. This isn't America. So 2020 election was not stolen.
Based.
You've been eliminated by the majority. Could you please return?
Thank you. That's great.
Nice to meet you as well. So you keep saying Trump is a fascist.
Yep.
You just keep throwing that term around.
I didn't say that.
Define.
I said he's causing a rise of fascism.
Can you define?
I would consider him a fascist.
Define fascism.
He's not a fascist because a fascist is one party rule. There's two parties in the United States. It's not one party, and he's not using violence to control power. It's not like after 2028 you're never going to see Trump again. His two-term limit is over. That's not fascism. If you want to see fascism, go to the Middle East. I'm Egyptian. If you want to see fascism, I can show you what fascism is. When the president.
Okay, you say fascism is one party control.
Yes.
Donald Trump has spent the past decade acting like the opposition party shouldn't exist. Caroline Levitt just the other day said the entire Democratic voter base is Hamas terrorists, criminals, and illegal immigrants. Stephen Miller says the Democratic Party is not a party. It is a domestic extremist organization. Donald Trump has called my side Nats, the enemy within, and people who need to be taken care of. He's trying to get the military to boo Obama and liberals. So Donald Trump, over the past decade, does not want the Democratic Party to exist. That's why they're targeting Act Blue.
So you're telling me that he doesn't have the right to criticize the Democratic Party at all?
That's not
They do the thing! So I can't put my dick on a person? So it's illegal? You're saying it's illegal for me, right? Some guy goes into the hospital, his face is completely f***ed, you beat the shit. Oh, so... just curious... I'm just, let me peace go here for a second. Do you apply the standard ever? Have you ever put your hands on somebody before? And it's like, well, no, not unless I'm like fighting them or I know them or I'm like, oh, really? Well, let's watch this stream clip here. And it's a clip of you walking into like a bar or whatever and seeing like some guy and you like shake his hand. It's like, did you know that guy? Well, no, I didn't. Okay, well, you reached forward and you shook his hand, right? You didn't know him that well. It's like, okay, but this is a different thing. Oh, so now it's illegal to touch somebody, right? It's like every debate, this is so dumb. I'm glad my computer's gonna get here. I'm gonna find more games to play because politics is so dumb.
The Democratic Party
is such it's so unserious.
Targeting
you can't criticize people now. You should just start masturbating in these comments. We should whip it out and just start jerking off and say, if you don't like it, just don't look at me, bro.
You're telling me that he doesn't have the right to criticize the Democratic Party at all?
That's not criticizing the party. That's using your power to take down the
Republican
Party.
Did I come to this?
They tried to impeach Trump twice.
And also,
isn't that fascism? Why are you trying to...
Wait,
fascism when you impeach somebody?
He's acquitted twice.
Hold up. You think it's fascism to go through the proper processes to impeach somebody? Wait a minute.
When one party controls the narrative, when you had Twitter,
just go back 1 second.
No,
impeaching somebody is not fascism. Impeaching somebody is going through the proper processes.
Yes, but literally making a false narrative around him. That's what they did.
Oh, if you
want to
talk about false narratives, let's talk about the 2020 election.
Habibi,
listen, calm down.
Like, take a deep breath.
You've cut this guy off so many times. Why are you? How does he need to calm down?
Listen. Yeah, take a deep breath. So when you have a party,
bro, you're literally sweating. You're out here like you're in Egypt right now, bro. Okay, calm down. Take a deep breath. You're pressed.
Party controlling the narrative on social media, and they were telling when there was pre-COVID.
Wait, who owns Twitter right now? Elon Musk.
Who bought
TikTok? Right wingers. Who owns Facebook? Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay,
Meta.
But they switched narrative. They switched narrative based on who's in power. So right now you got Trump. Right, you're saying he's a fascist. Is that your claim? That America's gonna be a.
They switched the narrative based on who's in power. So then how were Democrats ever in control? If anything, you're just making an argument for the social media companies being in control. Because if they switched the narrative based on who's in power, why would you ever let the opposition party gain power. What?
Fascist nation? That, is that your claim?
No, my claim is that Trump is causing a rise of fascism in our generation. And you know what? Sitting in this room proves it because you guys are all blind to the fact.
Because
you're blind to the fact that
the Middle East.
I'm Syrian,
been to
but I haven't been to the Middle East. No.
Okay, I've been to the Middle East. Have you seen fascism in Syria when they're killing Christians just because they're fascist?
That's
fascism.
That's
fascism. I'm just killing people.
Listen,
is he Trump killing people? It's a white guy. By the way, you want to know the biggest indicator of a person's whiteness? And sometimes, and this is what I love again about whiteness, and whiteness was a concept, by the way, the SJWs were totally white. Whiteness is a concept that's created to exclude people, okay? This guy is white. You can tell they're white anytime some motherfucker opens their mouth and it's like, we need to talk, okay, about violence, okay, in the Middle East, okay, against Christians. Oh my God. Every time. Come on, bro. Of all the... That's what you're going to focus on? Why? Of all the things to... Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Understand this. No. Okay, thank you. Thank God you guys understand it.
It means fascism is attributed to those people because they killed people. They killed people. Trump is not
fascism
killing anyone.
Fascism doesn't just mean
you
killed
people. It's one party signing everyone off and they're trying to control
the whole
population.
Do you think if Donald Trump and Stephen Miller had it their way, they would let the Democratic Party exist? Or do you think they would go after opponents, fundraising mechanisms, et cetera, et cetera? Which one?
No, what Trump is doing is...
You've been eliminated by Trump.
No answer. No answer to any question ever. Based. King. That guy's a king, by the way.
Damn. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Adam. Ethan.
Ethan.
So, I want to get started with talking about how you're saying sitting in this room with all of us who are blind to the truth or whatever is proving your point about the rise of fascism. It seems that you are doing exactly what people have been saying and applying this label.
Oh! You're saying that we're all wrong because we're biased? Ironic. Doesn't that make you also biased?
Needlessly to so many conservatives, like painting with a broad brush. And it makes me wonder if you really use fascism in the way, in like how the word means, or if you're using it as like a manipulation technique to silence opposition.
My intention is never ever to paint an entire party as fascist or anyone in this room as fascist. I don't think anyone is. But I think that there is a blindness and there is a normalization of fascism. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Was the 2020 election stolen or was it not? Was it legit?
I'm not sure, but can I ask you a question?
No, that's
I'm not sure. Then you're saying, oh, okay, just curious. Does your dad like to f*** little children? Are you agnostic on that? Because you don't know, right? You haven't even known your dad his whole life, right? Because he was alive for 20, 30 years before he had you, right? So I'm just curious. Would you answer that question with the same level of fairness, right? I don't know if my dad fucked kids. I'm not sure. He might have before he had me. Maybe. Who knows, right? Answer that question. That should be the follow-up. Every time that should be the follow-up.
Do you think elections can be stolen?
Let me finish.
Do you think it's impossible for elections to be stolen?
Oh, is it? He should hit him up with the piece of gold. Are you saying is it logically impossible? Like, I would have to, contradiction would have to be entailed by this. Like, bro, what a fucking, this is so ridiculous.
But in the United States, Donald Trump then took 60 court cases, 60 cases of election fraud. He lost every single
one. So he went to the courts legally?
After he went to the courts legally, what he did is that didn't work. So then he called election officials, you know, Brad Raffensperger from Georgia. Have you heard this phone call?
I have, yeah.
He said, can you find me 11,000 votes? After that didn't work, he tried a fake
election scheme. I think you're speculating a lot on what he meant on that phone call.
Okay, but then after that, he tried a fake elector scheme. You've heard of this, right? He tried to gather fake electors in 7 states to override the real electors. After that,
didn't they do that with Hawaii?
January 6th happened. I know everyone's going to sigh at this, but do you know what was happening inside the Capitol on January 6th?
What was happening?
They were certifying the Capitol.
They were like, ratifying or affirming like the election.
Mike Pence was certifying the results of the election.
Thank you.
And what were the people chanting outside? There was a group of people chanting Mike Pence.
Okay.
So wait.
I don't even care if you ripped these points from me. A lot of these are my points. They're good. They're good points. Hell yeah. It's so funny because who was I debating? Was it that one fat where I was like, who did I debate where I was like, what were they chanting outside? And he was like, oh, I don't remember. It's like, weren't they chanting like revolution or whatever? And we're like, maybe. And it's like, what was my question? It was like, what was the Revolutionary War? Would you consider that like, would you consider the Revolutionary War like an insurrection or a revolution or rebellion or whatever? Maybe that was it. The guy's like, well, no. It's like, what? This is the point you have to be married to now? Or, was it 1776? And I was like, would you consider 1776 like a rebellion or insurrection? Like, no. It's like, okay, bro, if that's where we're at, okay.
Wait, let me finish.
Okay,
when Trump said the election was stolen before it even happened, and then he stood on stage when 50% of the votes were counted and said, I won this election, and then he calls election officials, and then on January 6th, the day they're certifying the vote, people write...
Oh, also, if anybody's listening that goes on these events, this is also a good point, too. I've been reminded of this a few times, and I always forget to bring it up. Trump did not say that the 2020 election was stolen, that that was the only one. He also said that in 2016, they rigged it too, even though he still won. He said 2020 was stolen, and he also said in 2024, they rigged it too. Remember that. He said that every single election that he's participated in has been rigged in some way. Remember for 2016, he said that they would have, I think he was like, we would have won every single state if they hadn't rigged it. And he said that it was the Hillary 2 million or 3 million votes or whatever, he said were fake votes. They put together a commission to find it. They found nothing, by the way. He might have said the same about midterms. But yeah, basically every single election that Trump's been alive for and politically active for, he said has been rigged or stolen, or there's been massive fraud, the amounts of which would be greater than any fraud if every single U.S. election put together in all of U.S. history, by the way. Oh, wait, was this? All of these, by the way, before the votes were counted or before the votes were even cast, that they were going to rig
this. You guys filmed this.
Kamala
from start
has
to
changed
finish.
The story.
We can
Kamala
watch you guys cheering for it. We can watch you cheering 1776. What was 1776?
I know you hate 1776. Wait, I know you hate
what
that.
What was 1776? What was that?
That was the founding of the country.
Which was it? What was the event? What would you call that?
When we overthrew royalty and created
against the government,
created
would you call
a constitutional republic.
Would you call that an insurrection?
No.
No. 1776, the revolutionary. You wouldn't call that an insurrection?
So are you pro-insurrection now? You just babble and stammer so much, I can't figure out where you're at. Tell me what kind of an insurrection when an emergency notice goes out to go home.
No. Okay, good one, Chief.
Okay, so do you get what I'm saying?
I think I get what
you're saying. And now I'm sitting in a room of people who don't even know if
it's stolen. Can I speak for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you feel about that report that came out showing that there was like 274 FBI informants in the crowd in January?
Oh my God. People who have at one point in time suspended the FBI, this doesn't prove anything. At any huge 100,000 person wide event, there's going to be people in the crowd who have probably informed the FBI or worked with the FBI in some capacity. What you're trying to say is that they incited it. We have thousands of videos from outside the Capitol. If all these people were involved in inciting, all of these FBI people were involved in inciting the riot, show one video of it. Just one. All you have is Ray Epps.
Sixth.
I think that it's hilarious that Trump sent out a tweet saying Biden's FBI did that when it was Trump's FBI.
Okay,
wait, whose FBI
Trump's
was that?
FBI, the same FBI that literally like colluded against him with Russiagate.
No, whose FBI was this in 2020?
It was 2021. I mean, it was the FBI under Trump.
Okay, so it was the FBI under Trump. So how do you feel about Trump's FBI doing that?
How do you feel about the whole Russiagate thing that the FBI peddled to like try and frame a state
topic
president for treason?
What's your source?
Topic switch.
Dude, the Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh,
Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah, the director of National.
Donald Trump doesn't even trust Tulsi Gabbard to be inside on some of these like Iran conversations.
The director of National Intelligence, who's over the CIA and FBI, did a press conference and released a bunch of documents, and she said, "Hey,
read the documents." Say what she says they said. Donald Trump had 4 years during his first term. No, they did not. There was no Russia collusion.
Credible evidence that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to influence the 2016 election.
Literally,
and
his campaign
that for
manager
years and years to try to frame him for treason, dude.
His campaign manager was literally arrested for colluding with the Russians at one point in 2016. I wouldn't say Trump did.
Metaphor.
The Tulsi Gabbard report that you're citing is not saying what you think it says.
I mean, it's in the documents that she released. People can read it for themselves. Yeah. And furthermore, it's not just that, but you had like the deputy director of the FBI.
Wait, so who tried to pin Trump for treason? Like who exactly was this?
Well,
you gotta be specific with your claim.
It was the FBI and the CIA and former Obama administration officials that were investigating the Trump campaign leading up to the election.
If they were so powerful, all these people were working together to pin all of this on Trump, why didn't they? If they were willing to do all of this hoax, collusion, making up bullshit stuff, why didn't they? Where is the indictment then? Why did they make it up? If you've gone that far, why don't you just make it up? Wait, what?
You've been eliminated by the majority.
Nice to meet you.
That was a great conversation.
Thanks.
Hey there, Adam.
How are you doing?
Great to meet you.
Great to meet you.
Well.
Nice to meet you as well.
All right. Well, I guess I have a few questions.
Sure.
I want to start with, you seem to be kind of in newsland, and I kind of want to come back down to reality.
Sure.
So I'm a college student at UC Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a student, it's documented online on Instagram, come up to me after class, vaguely threaten me, and say a bunch of stuff.
That's terrible.
Yeah, sorry, university does absolutely nothing. I filed a report. I did everything.
Vaguely threaten me? What does that mean? Why he should ask for the, what was the message?
Wasn't even removed from my classes. And this is all documented and up online. So I, as a student, don't have the freedom to go share my opinions. The day Charlie Kirk died, we requested security. The university turned down our request for security. These are the real examples of fascism.
Are you,
Are
you trying to equate one random college student who I condemn,
no,
who I think is with Donald Trump using his power to try to consolidate as much of...
No, you're not. Okay, so what are you trying to say? So I'm trying to say that there's a system of the university here that's set up against conservative
speech. By system, do you need one student?
No, I mean that there's a system that I reported this person to and nothing happened.
And that's
this is part
of you.
This is part and parcel. Well, it's stifling conservative speech on campuses. And my point here is, and we saw back in the 2020 election, the suppression of the Hunter Biden story, I don't think the election was actually, you know, ballots were thrown in and it was rigged. I don't believe that.
So you think, you do or you don't? Sorry.
I do not believe that.
You don't think the election was stolen. There's probably a few people here who disagree with you. Does that worry you at all?
I think it's slightly worrying, but
it's slightly worrying that people think the election was stolen because
I think it's much more concerning that when I table on my campus, I have students telling me that Charlie Kirk deserved to die, throwing up L's in my face, laughing at me.
That's terrible, but you can't equate one or a few random students.
You're equating
the president of the United States convinced a large portion of the country the election was stolen when it wasn't.
So
I highly condemn these random. Okay, I just want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
You're saying that this is fascism. Can you provide your definition?
So this is small scale. So I would say there's a few definitions. I think all of them are
like mine.
Bullying.
Can you repeat your character? Actually, I want to pause because you wanted to talk about the rise of fascism, and that's what I have
in our generation.
Because your claim isn't that Trump is a fascist. Your claim is that Trump has contributed to the rise of fascism.
Yeah, that's
why do all the fascist people in American politics
Fuentes hate Donald Trump? Why did Fuentes not vote for Donald Trump? Why did all the people who are openly claiming, you know, Mehdi Hassan, you saw that jubilee surrounding
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Why do all these people who are openly admitting that they're fascist, why does not a single one of them support Donald Trump?
They are openly admitting that they're fascist, and a lot of them do support Donald Trump, number one.
No,
the people in that episode were conservatives, number one. But number
conservative,
two,
not Republican. They don't vote Republican.
But also, what about the Politico story that really
okay,
did
so
you
read changing
that?
The point. No, I understand.
Wait,
you changed the point.
I'm not changing the point. You asked me, unless you want to contain it to one jubilee episode.
Go.
Let me finish. Unless you want to contain the people we're talking about to one jubilee episode, young people, not only young Republicans, but young conservatives, sure, they are turning to fascism at a high rate. Do you condemn what was in that group chat?
What group chat? Oh,
the Politico group chat.
I would personally condemn what was said in that group chat.
And what was that in that group chat? Wait, can you tell me what was said in that group chat?
Yeah, so they described like watermelon people. They said they love Hitler.
Wait, what did they say about gas chambers?
They said if you don't vote for me, you're getting sent to gas.
Okay, wait a minute. And these weren't just young Republicans. These were like 20, 30, 40 year olds, correct? No, these were 20, 30, 40 year olds, and some of them were state senators. So younger people seem to be inclined towards fascism. You can respond. I'm sorry.
Okay, younger people seem to be inclined towards fascism. Yes, and all these people don't like Donald Trump.
Those were young Republicans.
Let me finish speaking. Okay. So it was a reaction.
Got him.
All right, thank you.
Later. No response for you. Later, bitch. Later.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Sarah. So I'm a lot more concerned about the rise of violent left-wing rhetoric among Gen Z than so-called fascism, because I'm sorry, if you think like that
rhetoric?
Chat was any sort, like that meant that fascism is on the rise, it's like you've never been at Call of Duty lobby. Like, it's called making edgy jokes. Okay?
Wait a minute, you make those types of jokes?
They're not jokes, though. Oh my god. Whoa, shit. Hold on, my inner incel just fucking flared up when this person who's never been in a Call of Duty lobby in their life just talked about Call of Duty lobbies. Oh my god. Hold on, I just got a flash of white woman hatred in me for a second. But that's not what this is, okay? This is political conservative hatred, okay?
I don't personally, but like, that's okay. Like every young man ever has like made a joke.
Raise
like
your
that
hand if you make those types of jokes.
Real. Like,
okay, so no one will actually admit it because it's kind of weird to make those types of jokes.
Everyone makes those types, and that means you have like no male friends if you've like never been in a room where people
my
like,
male friends
say the N-word as a joke. Like, it's
no,
like,
my male friends.
There's a difference in setting. Like, you must understand that, right? That significantly changes how you would view the context of those jokes. If some guy's in a lobby, he's like, oh, I'm going to throw you a fucking gas chamber or a fucking whatever, because they're in a fucking video game lobby, fine, whatever, yeah. You can argue whether you should or shouldn't say it. I think edgy jokes are bae, so go for it. But there'd be a big difference between that versus, like, a teacher who has a kid who, like, doesn't do their homework on time, and the teacher's like, oh, you're fucking all the time with your fucking homework, Johnny. I'm going to throw you the gas chamber. That's not the same thing, right? I think the context and where you're making these jokes kind of matters a little bit, just a little bit.
Does that, and you know it's true, and it's like,
no,
if not, you're probably surrounded by like homosexuals.
Okay, my male friends and I tell each other to like kill themselves, we do
some
stuff.
Oh, that's so shocking, oh my gosh.
Okay, but we don't say-
like, but there's a difference there, okay? A white dude getting killed in a video game and screaming the N-word is a lot different than people in a group chat being like, I actually think that Jews are engaged in a mass migration scheme to replace all of white people across the entirety of the Western world so that Israel can take over. It's like, bro, you don't make edgy jokes sometimes? Oh, so you don't believe that? Well.
I owe you.
Oh, so you're not joking.
Joke.
We don't say
and the difference
off
is
the gas chamber.
The difference is that young leftists genuinely worship the murder of Charlie Kirk and Luigi Mangione, who are people committing genuine acts of violence, and they genuinely condone that. So that's the big difference, because, I mean, I saw literally graffiti on college campuses saying...
Okay, the Luigi Mangione thing, that is weird and bad, and you guys are weird and cringe and losers for celebrating it. However, basically every constituency in the United States celebrated this fucking Luigi Mangione shit, except for, like, fucking neocons, okay? Because I'm pretty sure even fucking maggoteer, especially younger people, are like, oh, fuck large corporations, because it's not like these guys are huge corporate defenders or whatever. Like, I remember Ben Shapiro's comment section where Ben Shapiro was like, guys, we probably shouldn't be encouraging random students to or random kids to be murdering CEOs, and his whole comment section was like, Ben, you're out of touch with the American public, we need to murder every healthcare CEO.
All Charlie Kirks. They are inciting violence, and that is a totally like normalized thing to say to like
okay.
celebrate the fact. And that's serious, and the political group chat was a joke. And you know that.
Okay, so your concession is that, you know, people talk like fascists in private sometimes, but you're worried that leftists are using increasingly violent rhetoric like the people you were talking about.
Because
Luigi
one
Mangione
thing is serious and one thing is a joke.
Okay, I want to ask you a thing. Did one Democratic politician support what Luigi did? Can you name any actual Democratic politician?
Nope.
No, but it doesn't
okay,
matter.
So
because
on the other side,
oh, it doesn't matter about Twitter.
You're not talking about politicians.
No. I am talking about politicians as well. So on the other side.
Oh, now you're
let me clarify.
What about young leftists? What about the violence that young leftists
Let me clarify very, very quickly.
That's
so you're trying to point to young leftists on the left, but on the right, there are politicians in power, people like Stephen Miller, who says the Democratic Party is a domestic extremist organization. Caroline Leavitt, just the other day, as I said that the entire base is Hamas terrorists and criminals. So when you have people in power on the right, wait, they're using this rhetoric and normalizing
it
that goes down
true,
street.
So
you have left-wing media like MSNBC cheering backstage when Charlie Kirk was murdered.
Wait, you think people are being murdered
really?
Because of MSNBC? You think MSNBC is radical?
Yes, I do.
You think MSNBC is radical?
Absolutely.
What do you think is radicalizing more people, Nick Fuentes or MSNBC?
Probably MSNBC.
Really? Yeah. More so than Nick Fuentes. Queen. I guess I'm laughing behind me. That's kind of, But also, there's a fundamental difference between people in power using rhetoric and random leftists. Listen, I'm a young liberal.
Don Lemon just told people to shoot ICE agents. Don Lemon just told illegal brown people to grab guns so they can shoot ICE agents when they show up at their door. Is Don Lemon not someone in a position of power?
Do
you condone that?
No, you should not shoot ICE agents. He said that you should have a weapon in your house. Don't you support the Second Amendment?
Not for illegal immigrants, because they're not allowed to legally own firearms.
Can I clarify something? Can I clarify? He was talking about citizens because he said they're arresting and detaining citizens. So if you watch watch that clip, he was saying citizens. I hope there's one of those fact checks on screen because he was saying they're detaining citizens. So really, they're arresting and detaining citizens.
Because you have people knocking on your door and taking you away without due process as a citizen. Isn't that what the Second Amendment was written for?
Citizens. So if you watch that clip, he was saying citizens. I hope there's one of those fact checks on screen because he was saying they're detaining citizens. So really quickly.
Citizens wouldn't need to be like shooting ICE agents.
I don't think anyone should shoot ICE agents.
That's the most fun. Argument ever against the Second Amendment. What do you need a gun for unless you're a fucking criminal? Oh my god, bro. I don't even know. It's not even like a horseshoe. It's like a Down syndrome horseshoe. It's like deformed itself into agreeing with the most retards of the left. What the fuck?
But he was number one. I'm not Don Lemon.
I'm not Don Lemon. We're saying left-wing people openly incite violence.
Can I just clarify very quickly? I'm a young liberal, and I completely wholeheartedly condemn anyone on my side who is number one talking poorly about Charlie Kirk. Number two, saying insane stuff. Yeah,
talking poorly about Charlie. Okay, you're giving way too much ground there. Okay, fuck Charlie Kirk.
Then half your party. Do it.
Oh, you think? Okay, can you name one Democratic person in position of power who said something about Charlie Kirk?
I just said like half of the people on MSNBC. We saw the video the second he died. I don't know because they're off camera. We heard the cheers the second he died.
On your side.
Oh wait, I feel like I know what she's talking about. Or maybe I don't. Wasn't there it wasn't MSNBC though. Wasn't there like a TMZ thing where I think somebody on a channel said something about how Charlie Kirk had just been shot. And I think you hear some people in the background laughing, but they were doing a different show or something. And they were talking on that show and somebody made a joke and they were laughing. I don't think they were laughing in response to Charlie Kirk. I'm pretty sure there was like a ton of stuff that was released about this. This was not them all laughing at Charlie Kirk being shot and killed. That was a TMZ clip, which is a Fox show and the people laughing when they're watching. Yeah, I don't think... I don't think that this is... I feel like I would have heard this. There were people cheering in the background. We saw the clip a few days ago. I think this is what she's referring to. Unless there was something else I missed.
We were live-streaming all day during this tragedy.
This is how the video is supposed to look, by the way.
When something happened in our office, as we were reporting the assassination of Charlie Kirk, there were some people in the back room away from our news desk here who were watching a car chase, and they were laughing, they were clapping, and you could hear it out here. And we want to make a couple of things clear. One is that I know these people, and they were not laughing. They were not reacting that way about Charlie Kirk's assassination. They were not. They would not work here if they did.
And that being said, we acknowledge that it was horrible timing. And for that, we are sorry.
We apologize. I get that you had to hear that.
And I get why if you're watching the stream, you may have felt that that's what the laughter was about. We assure you it was not about that, but it was horrible timing. And by the way, I get it too, and he gets it, because we listened as we were talking. You can go back and look on the stream. I actually walked off camera to go back and find out what the hell was going on, because it was inappropriate for the laughter at that time. But no
one... And I can name Mike Lee, who made fun of Melissa Hortman after she died. I can name Donald Trump and Don Jr., who made fun of Nancy Pelosi. So just to back up, there's a normalization of this type of ideology happening in our politics, and it's due to people like Donald Trump. Okay,
we saw Luigi Mangione as a sex symbol.
Pause. Time out. We're done with this claim, so we need to move on to the next claim.
My next claim is, despite Trump's claims, the economy is not in a golden age. Got it.
Also, the Luigi Mangione guy, that's pretty privileged also working there, okay? Because if that dude looked like fucking Tyler Robinson... I don't think it would be the same support.
Meet you.
I'm Riley.
Nice to meet you, Riley.
So why do you think Trump's economy isn't golden?
I don't think it's in a golden age. I think that he claims almost on a weekly basis that the economy is in a golden age and that we are bringing in trillions of dollars in tariffs, but that's not manifesting in any of the indicators. We can look at three in particular. Unemployment is up since Trump took office. Prices are rising and manufacturing is down. Manufacturing was one of his big claims, but we can dig into any of those.
So I would just like to talk about the tariffs first in general. So actually when we increase tariffs, it's kind of proven that always at the beginning,
inflation rise, there's always a little spike and then it eventually decreases. We can also see that Trump would do this to eventually in hopes to improve domestic manufacturing and self-reliance. Because, for example, we get about 60% of semiconductors and 90% of microchips from Taiwan. They're the leading manufacturer of those in the whole world. And currently they're at war with China. Mm. And if China takes over Taiwan, then we're in big trouble, right? So I would just kind of like to add that it's really important that and not only do tariffs help us get that self-reliance and create more jobs, we also can use tariffs to make more money, bring more money for our country, because to fix the national debt issue that Biden's team caused.
So. Yeah, let's start off with the first claim about tariffs reshoring manufacturing. They absolutely can be used to reshore certain industries into the United States, and that's a good point, but that's not how Trump's using them. He placed blanket tariffs on every single country except for Russia and North Korea for some odd effing reason. But then he has been kind of weird about these tariffs. Like, there's no actual concessions that he's trying to get. He placed tariffs on countries that we had free trade with. And then secondly, when you do tariffs... Wait, really quickly, when you do tariffs all via executive order, all of his tariffs were via executive order. None of them actually went through Congress or were long-term and binding. There's no actual incentivization for countries to reshore manufacturing because then there's no continuity into the next administration, right? Can you agree that when you do it all via executive order, the next administration could just, you know, run it all back? So we've seen a decrease in manufacturing investments.
I would like to add that when we see that employment rates will rise and costs will go down, we've already, we're not even in his first full through.
He's the one that's claiming we're in a golden age and said 90 deals in 90 days.
Also, can I add that when tariffs are added about, like you said, about multiple across all nations in the world, that is like a, I believe I'm saying the right name, neo-exceptionalism trade policy, so we can have more communication with other countries and also to just generate more wealth also as well. And
that's not manifesting in any of our manufacturing investment. That wealth is not manifesting for the U.S. people. In fact, this type of tax is regressive. Can you agree that tariffs are paid by the U.S. consumer? Like, can you split with Trump there?
Yes, of course, tariffs are paid by the U.S. consumer. Thank you. As we can see, that use tariffs to have domestic manufacturing and to just generate more wealth, we can rely on ourselves and not look to these other countries like we have been for so long.
That's right, but it's not what Trump's doing. Actually, real private fixed investment into manufacturing structures in the United States went down. Biden actually had a few acts that incentivized, like the CHIPS Act, incentivized the building of chips and semiconductors in the United States. But Trump is tearing up these trade deals and then piecing them back together with tape and signing his name on it as if he did something when he didn't.
But as we can see with Biden's era of presidency, inflation actually increased. And
why? What was going on?
It hasn't decreased. And we actually see, as of August, I believe, that median household income has increased $1,000 already. And in his first term, we've seen... You've animated. It was a pleasure.
That
was
great. Five springs!
Got you. What's up?
Hi, nice to meet you. Isaiah. I want to give you 30 seconds, and I want to give myself 30 seconds just to understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, so again, there are a few indicators that you can look at, but if Donald Trump is going to claim that we are in a golden age, then we necessarily had to have been in a golden age under the end of Biden's term, because so far, youth unemployment is up 16% since he took office. That's people in this room. Youth unemployment is up. That's not a golden age. Unemployment for Black Americans is up 20% since he took office. That is not a golden age. We can look at inflation over the past, you know, since Liberation Day in April. You can look at inflation, and it has gone up. We were actually trending down at the end of Biden's term and as Trump took office, but now it is trending back up. And all of this is for what? No actual reshoring of manufacturing quite yet.
Right, so to go based on, you want to talk about unemployment?
Any of it, yeah.
So to go based on unemployment, the reason why it's actually higher is because under Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, that actually increased the inflation margin significantly. Only because it actually did, in fact, increase taxes. It did say it was going to put $1.5 trillion back into the economy for roads, infrastructure, all that. It didn't actually increase anything necessarily. Actually, that was more so actually given to the states actually to do with the money as they choose. As far as tariffs go, yes, obviously inflation does increase as well as also a slow growth.
That's not a golden age then.
But as far as that goes, especially for long-term development.
How long?
Well, it could take as much as 5 years.
Also
an investment to the year.
Is that what the people voted for? I thought they voted for immediate relief.
Don't get me wrong. Egg prices did drop. So did gasoline prices. The only reason why California isn't as high is just because of California's regulations. But either way, while he does actually influence the economy through his executive orders, he can't control every single
price. Can I ask you, do you think we're in a golden age right now, as Trump claims?
Do I think that we're in a golden age? I think we're actually
we're heading towards
there.
What?
Okay. Do you think that Trump has brought in the amount of money he claims? He claims it's $18 trillion. He says $17, $18 trillion based on tariffs.
I do believe so, because as far as the tariffs have actually done, companies have actually started to set up their businesses here in the United States.
The problem is, okay, a few things. Number one, there was a CNBC article that came out just yesterday where they interviewed 12 business owners, and all of them said that the tariffs have impacted them so negatively that they've had to reduce the amount of people that employ them. They've had to slow down their growth. And when it comes to the $18 trillion that Trump is claiming, they're just inflated numbers that Trump seems to be lying about. And my entire point is, when unemployment for young Americans, for Black Americans is going
higher.
Up, it's higher.
Especially because we actually outsource our employment from other countries as well, which actually will be brought back to the United States
when? 5 years?
Like I said, it's an investment. You have to also give it time for the economy to actually heal.
We were already healing. We were at a pretty good pace. The stock market was hitting all-time highs. Then when Trump announced the Liberation Day tariffs, it dropped, and it took months for it to return to those all-time highs. It took months. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
That was great.
Kind of got a little dumpstered.
Nice to meet you.
First of all, when Trump says golden age, he means golden age, which is a set of time period. It doesn't happen. It's not golden day, golden year, golden 3 months.
It's the golden generation. Oh.
Time stamp or time limit on golden age. So it's an idea that America is going to be entered in.
I feel it's so crazy because now we're hedging so much against this era, but I feel like I heard Trump say so many times, 90 deals in 90 days. I could solve the Russia-Ukraine war on day one. I solved Israel-Gaza day zero before I even came into office. I can bring these things down instantly. I thought I heard him say like instant for almost all of this stuff, but now... that was like time periods, all this, huh?
Ooh, a time period, a time age, and hopefully sooner than later.
It's not the age part I have a problem with, it's the golden part I have a problem with.
So why don't you think we're heading into a golden age?
I don't think we're in a golden age, as Trump claims, for the few reasons that I've stated. I mean, the economy is just not bearing that. People of our generation
are struggling.
Why do you think
we're going into a golden
age? Wait, what? Why?
So, not why you don't think we're in a golden age. Wait. Why do you think we're not going into a golden age?
Oh, because the indicators are slowing down since Trump took office. If you want to say that we're in a golden age now, then we were in a golden age under Biden. As Biden left office, the economy was recovering. I know that he had a rocky 4 years. I know there are a lot of extrinsic factors, such as COVID, the Ukraine war, and some policies that Biden passed. I can easily concede that. But by the end of Biden's term, the economy was starting to stick the landing, and Trump immediately screwed it up by doing these Liberation Day tariffs combined with the big, ugly, beautiful bill or whatever, which will not only, you know, strip Medicaid and Social Security nets away from the lowest income earners or people that need it the most, but it also provides permanent tax cuts to the richest of the rich.
So in terms of the economy, because Medicaid's a whole different argument. Let's talk about the economy. Sure, but we're talking about specifically the economy, and I think we brought up tariffs, and I think we bought. So let's stick to that further.
Well, really quickly, when people don't have social safety nets, they have to start digging into their savings and taking out.
Let's talk about tariffs real quick, because there's two arguments to the tariffs. There's the national security part of tariffs, and then there's the wealth of America tariffs.
Which one are you going to go for?
So let's go for national security. Cool. So it's in the best interest that our number one adversary is responsible for the majority of vital things that we need. So, for example, vitamin C is produced almost, I think, 90%+ in China, which China would be an adversary. Steel.
Vitamin C?
Is produced in large quantities in China. Drone parts.
I feel like this guy's brought up a couple things. I don't even know what I would say to what?
Which the military heavily relies on for military and private people as well, rely on drone parts for industry or whatever. That's also made in China. Do you think it's a good idea that, do you think it's going towards golden age to get America less dependent on our adversaries who in theory hate us and have been pulling military advances to threaten our
What you're saying is true.
But it's not going into the golden age of America.
That is not what Trump is doing. So just to say.
That exactly is what Trump is doing.
No, it is not at all. Really quickly, you said a lot of things. Really quickly, you're pointing out a good thing. During COVID, a lot of our supply chain flaws were exposed heavily. We relied on other countries for certain technologies and certain masks. And I think everyone realized, oh shit, wait a minute. Our supply chains are really just in other countries. We need to reshore some stuff. But when it comes to Trump's tariffs on China, can you name me any indicators that bear that we have reshored, what is it? You're saying steel, reshored, any sort of this technology?
Well, the idea that we have I think it's almost at $7 trillion.
I just debunked that number.
My entire point is that you talk about manufacturing going down, and it takes about, because I work in government, it takes about, you know, like 2 years, at least in California, to even go from groundbreaking to flat to ribbon cutting. Well, so, I mean, in terms of manufacturing going down, the way you look at
from groundbreaking to ribbon cutting, is he saying that in 2 years you could stand up a whole new factory from surveying and everything else to opening? If I was just making shit up all the time, my guess would be like 5 to 10 years minimum. 2 years seems really fast. I guess it's depending on what kind of manufacturing you're talking about, but
in manufacturing, what's promised? What's been promised to be reinvested into America? So that's my first entire thing.
Do you
think
companies have any incentive to reshore manufacturing long term when these are all done by executive order and not actual binding trade deals gone through courts?
Well, I think the idea is that Trump's tariff policy is to impact the future economic.
But we're not seeing that investment into the future.
So whether they see the promise or not, they promised $7 trillion into the economy. So
do one more time.
In terms of that, I think it's a good idea that China is no longer holding us hostage economically. My second point to the national intelligence is that the fact that we are in an almost $1 trillion trade deficit, which deficits when you export. When you import more than you export, which is not a good thing. Would you say that?
That was great. That was fun.
Clap, 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 clap.
So, hi, it's good to meet you.
Great to meet you.
Martin, nice to meet you. Martin, I'm Adam.
Perfect. So,
get off me.
Because we already established kind of the golden age is a wide range of time.
Sure.
We're more so talking about
the golden part.
Well, yeah, I'm saying for the age, we're talking about this entire Trump presidency. And really,
do you think we're in a golden age? Like he claims?
I think we're entering one. And I think that.
We're getting there.
Any indicators
moving
off the tariffs?
Truck crashing into the poll,
guys. The Trump's economic presidency, which is the one big beautiful bill.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I assume you're against the one big beautiful bill, correct?
Yeah, certain parts of it, sure. For sure.
Okay, for sure. So I think the biggest part of it is extension of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Are you pro or against that?
I mean, that's fine, but it depends on the context around it. So Donald Trump did permanently extend the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act tax cuts, and that disproportionately benefits the richest of
the rich. But at the same time, okay, but like I said, at the same time, he cut social safety nets for people at the very, very bottom. And you know what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act says? Wait, really quickly. If you look it up, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act over the next few years will lead to hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of children losing free lunch at schools, while it also allows billionaires to now write off private jets. Now, none of us in this room benefit from having private jets.
Let's touch on the first part. You said that most of the tax cuts are concentrated, you know, within the top 20.
Disproportionately, I wouldn't say most. Yeah.
Well, sure. So 60% of income earners actually do get tax cuts under the One Big Beautiful Bill, under the extension of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Specifically, the median American family would have seen a tax hike of $1,800 a year should the Tax Cuts
and Jobs Act. And I'm glad they extended that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so, like I said, the context matters. When you're extending that, you're removing social safety nets and allowing billionaires to write off private jets. People in this room will benefit a lot more from like kids getting free lunches than writing off private jets. I don't see anyone in this room.
Social safety net part, though. So the best example the left always brings up is cuts to Medicaid. The actual like most prominent cut that we made to Medicaid was
it was actually just changing who could qualify for it.
Tuning work requirements of 20 hours a week.
They tried this exact thing in Arkansas and it kicked 18,000 people off of their Medicaid.
Yeah, I would say that if someone isn't working, then they shouldn't be getting health care.
No, but these were 18,000 people who had increased barriers to get Medicaid. What happens is these people who are vulnerable already.
The barriers to seeking a job?
No, it's not just that. It kicks people off because the barriers become so hard. People with jobs can still get it. But the problem is, listen,
what are the barriers that are so hard?
The problem is when it comes to this, with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, with that, the barriers for Medicaid. Sorry, one second.
No, okay, so it's like you said barriers. What are the barriers that are so hard besides getting a job where you have to go over 20 hours a week? There's already a qualification in there that if you're disabled, then that doesn't apply to you. I mean, what are these barriers? The left always speaks in these like just abstracts. Like that's actually like what are the barriers?
The increased barriers are when people are vulnerable and already working part time, and then you cut them off of part-time? Medicaid. Yes, people can get Medicaid with this, but the problem is when 18,000 people like in Arkansas are
like what? Here's he should flip this. Don't let them control the conversation. You say sometimes there are points that feel so like just the truism thing. It feels bad, right? But. It's worth it to explore that sometimes. Like, okay, there should be work requirements for Medicaid, all right? And it seems like that intuitively feels right. I guess, yeah, you should be working, I guess. Like, well, hold on. Should there be? Let's think for a moment, okay? Person has no job and he's on Medicaid. What healthcare do you think this motherfucker is consuming? Do you think motherfuckers without jobs that are on Medicaid are going for, like, weekly labs to Yes, or Walgreens, like, oh, just checking my free testosterone today. Oh, just wanted to get my 78th HSV 1 and 2 and syphilis test today. Like, what healthcare are people on Medicaid consuming? That are, like, broken, not working? They're probably not much, would be my guess. Probably not much. That's just a guess. Now, if you want to say, well, what about when real shit gets real bad for them or whatever? Okay, then they're going to an emergency room. And what? It's either Medicaid or it's just going to be free at that point, right? Like, what is the next step there? Are you saying that we need to start turning people away at the emergency room? Should there be work requirements for an emergency room visit? Like, yeah, you don't have a job, motherfucker. You're dying. Time for you to die. Like, what are we even talking about here? I want to know, okay? I want to know. Somebody tell me, okay? Who, now, and also, it's hard because I don't know how many people LARP as poor people or what, okay? Maybe I just have poor trauma, or maybe I was a retarded person, okay? I don't give a fuck if I had health insurance or whatever when I was working, because I think I did even at the casino had health insurance because it was part of taken out of your paycheck or whatever. Bro, I'm staying as far the fuck away from any hospital I fucking... You think that just because I have insurance? The whole reason why you have insurance is to avoid using it so your deductible never goes up, okay? You think I'm going to the fucking hospital for fun? Even with Medicaid? Like, I just don't understand. Like, what is all the healthcare? Stop face fucking me. What is all the healthcare that these fucking... jobless people are consuming? I want to know the answer to that question. You stop. No, I want to know the answer to that question. He's gonna down me. That's okay, I'm crawling. Oh, I'm not gonna be able to crawl because I don't have the right one. We'll see. I don't have the HP restoring one, do I? Careful, that guy's a mean guy in there. He's on fire though. If I die to the shutter, I deserve to die. It's okay. You're a saint. No, I don't. Here, have this. It'll be on SoundCloud next week. Tell all your friends.
Kicked kicked off of their Medicaid. No, the 18,000 people were kicked off of their Medicaid because they couldn't get access to it. What happens then? Wait, they have to dig into their social safety. They have to dig into their.
So how do they not get access then?
Because the barriers are increased. Right. When people are vulnerable and already working part-time and then you cut them off of Medicaid. Yes, people can get Medicaid with this. But the problem is when 18,000 people like in Arkansas are kicked off of their Medicaid. No, the 18,000 people were kicked off of their Medicaid because they couldn't get access to it. What happens then? Wait, they have to dig into their social safety. They have to dig into their.
So how do they not get access then?
Because the barriers are increased.
What are the barriers? The only barrier you listed, the only barrier we talked about is work requirements, and that's working 20 hours a week.
Yeah, but it's the work requirements increasing is just, yeah, it's not.
You got to make the bite the bullet on it. Okay, that's fine. I'm with you on the work requirements, as long as you're willing to just tell people who don't have jobs that if they get sick enough, they just have to fucking die, okay? Because that's like the logical extension of that idea, right? Because like what people, I'm sorry, but poor people, unless we just know different poor people, okay? Poor people don't go to the hospital. They just don't. You work these jobs. These motherfuckers have the most fucked teeth you've ever seen. They're like, John, like, why the fuck are you limping around? Whatever, you know, why don't you ever pick up this shit? Why don't you help me? They're like, well, you know, I broke my leg, you know, 2 years ago, and it just never felt right afterwards. And, you know, the bone still sticks out sometimes if I bend over too much. Like, where are all these people on Medicaid that are doing their luxury hospital visits? Like, here I am to cash in on my weekly lab report. It's so retarded.
I
don't
know. Wait, can you concede?
so we agree, work requirements are a good thing. We can find common ground.
Can you concede that what the tax cuts and wait, listen, can you concede that what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act does is it permanently decreases taxes for the richest of the rich, but then it also temporarily gives no tax on tips. Do you know that part?
Yeah, no tax on tips.
But that's only temporary. So what is
it's like waiving on it because you always wanted like test out.
Okay,
wait
a minute.
Wait.
Let me bring this back. So the permanent tax cuts for the richest of the rich don't have an expiration date.
Because we already did that.
They don't have an expiration date, but you have an expiration date for the things that are going to help them. Why is there an expiration date for the people who are the most vulnerable?
It's a trial program, and the tax cuts for everyone were made permanent.
Permanent. Why would you not make the tax cuts permanent? You know when they end? They end right as Trump's leaving office. So this is what it's like. It's like waving a $100 bill in front of somebody's eyes while giving thousands of dollars to the richest of the rich.
You know the early part. Can you concede again that work requirements are good thing on Medicaid?
Sure. Right? Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. So you support Donald Trump on that.
No,
great to know.
I don't support. No, listen. When you sat down, I said the context matters. The context of permanent tax cuts. Wait, do you? If you could have it your way, would the no tax on tips be permanent or?
If it works out, then I want to make it permanent, which it will.
If you had it your way, would the no tax on tips be permanent now in the Big Beautiful Bill? Or do you think that them...
Can you explain no tax on tips? Did people really declare their tips when they did their taxes? The restaurant I worked at was a little weird, or not weird, but it was because people all paid at the counter. So I don't know if it's like this in normal jobs, but my guess would be, you probably hear from millennials in my generation, like, nobody reports their tips, or people don't report a percentage as well. My guess is the vast majority of tips today, like 80% plus, probably get reported. Because most of it is going through the point of sales now, because if somebody uses a credit card and they tip you out that way, then the system will track it and you kind of have to report those because it'll show up on, I think on our paychecks that they would just show up on our paycheck. They wouldn't give us cash at the end of the shift. They would just show up, so those kind of have to. Now, I don't know if maybe in other restaurants, people still tip the majority of the time with cash. Maybe that's different in different areas, but even when I was working, people were starting to use credit cards pretty often. My guess is most people use credit cards these days. And if they're using a credit card, it's going to show up on paperwork somewhere. You basically have to pay tips on it.
Firing right as Trump leaves office is a good thing.
I want to make sure that they work and then make them permanent. I want to make sure that we don't need to expand it. I want to actually have a sound public policy.
Why do you think Trump made them not permanent?
I've already said this three times. Because when you ever have a new program, you need to try out, you have a trial period, which is why the 2017 TCJA had a cutoff time. So let's talk about
that's bullshit.
You bring up taxes on the
rich. You need a trial period for a tax cut? What are you trialing? Did the tax go down? Yes. Okay, what are you trialing for this? Hello?
Just Americans. Yeah. So I assume you're, like I said, you're opposed to the Trump's tariffs.
The Trump tariffs, yeah.
Okay, why?
The Trump tariffs for a few reasons.
Or just tariffs in general. Why are you opposed to tariffs?
I'm not opposed to tariffs in general. As I've said, there are ways to do targeted tariffs, but when Donald Trump got into office, he placed tariffs on every single country except for North Korea and Russia. I find that pretty weird. But listen, I want to ask you, after nine months of going through this tariff,
so we're talking about cutting taxes for the rich Americans and all Americans. The reason why that's actually a good thing is because you want people investing more money, especially right now when we're seeing an AI revolution.
Listen, I want to ask you, after nine months of going through this tariff,
so we're talking about cutting taxes for the rich Americans and all Americans. The reason why that's actually a good thing is because you want people investing more money, especially right now when we're seeing an AI revolution, which
investing more money in what? If you're investing money in your own business, that money is already not being taxed as an expense, right? Use your reinvestment or whatever if you're buying supplies and shit. If you're just talking about stocks and stuff, I don't think that these companies are like, if we don't IPO for enough, our company's gonna go fucking bankrupt. Or all these huge investors are like, man, I used to run hedge funds. I did a lot of private equity. You know, I was a big angel investor, but like the taxes were killing me, bro. When the highest tax bracket went up to 2 points, when it was 39%, I just couldn't afford any investment. But now that it's 37%, oh my God, the money's just flowing.
exponentially.
You understand that? Wait, let me make this point.
I gotta
make this point.
Republicans and President Trump have
I gotta make this point. Tariffs are a regressive tax on the people who earn the lowest. Well, so right now,
all a tariff is a sales tax. That's literally all it is.
Okay,
it's a sales tax on foreign goods.
Listen, low income earners.
Sales taxes are regressive, though, right?
Necessarily spend more of their income on consumption, right? So when you're spending more of your income on consumer goods, you are going to be hit by these taxes harder. Meanwhile, the richest of the rich are getting tax cuts, are getting all of this. The richest of the rich are disproportionately benefiting from this.
See, so can you concede that the 2017 tax and jobs act being extended will put more money?
Can you concede that lower income
take out?
No, that is not true.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you concede that lower income earners are disproportionately benefited by the regressive tariffs?
One more time.
So lower income earners necessarily spend a larger.
Jobs back. They're going to be disproportionate.
When are they going to bring jobs back? Jobs have been.
Tariffs take a while to kick into effect. You need to have trade deals. You need to have the tariffs actually.
How many
trade
deals? Zero.
We've done with the UK. We've done some of the EU. We're working on some of India.
Are these actually papered up?
Zero.
I mean, it takes more than 3 months to negotiate a massive trade.
Donald Trump said.
Oh, well, then maybe he shouldn't have said 90 deals in 90 days. So then did he fucking.
90 deals in 90 days. What do you mean it takes more than 3 months?
How much is he going to have in time?
You got me. That was a good one.
Really good. Thank you.
You got me. My next claim is children are safer with the average illegal immigrant than with Donald Trump. Nice to meet you, I'm Adam.
I would actually like to hear what you have to say about it.
That'd be great. So when you look at the statistics, there's a study done by PNAS in Texas
that shows
that undocumented immigrants are two.
I think basically what you would have to prove is that over 50% of illegal immigrants are at least accused of touching kids, right? Because 50% of Donald Trump's seem to fuck kids, right? Because Donald Trump Jr. is the younger one, so at least half of Donald Trump's.
Two times less likely to commit crimes than native-born citizens. 2.5 times less likely to commit property or drug crimes than native-born citizens. 4 times less likely to commit property crimes. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has been held liable for sexual assault. Donald Trump has had 34 felonies. Donald Trump is best friends with prolific sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. So,
I just have a few questions for you. So, really like to know how come 60% of them that come in commit a crime, or they have the intention to commit a crime, and
that
how
is not
come
true.
That is true.
What's your study?
I believe it was in 2 articles I learned in my college.
Wait,
class.
What do you think commits more crime?
You learned in your college class that 60% of illegal immigrants commit crime? What? And before, well, yeah, they came here illegally. That's a crime. Blah, blah,
blah. The average U.S. citizen or the average undocumented immigrant?
Well,
I mean, violent crime.
Undocumented, so we wouldn't know.
Violent crimes.
We wouldn't know,
then how do you know the 60% number? What?
We have no idea who these people are coming into our country.
Texas did a comprehensive study.
But there's no background check on them. They don't exist in this country, so we have no idea who they are.
They do.
So the
burden of
proof. Whoa, 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 whoa. Am I crazy? Maybe it's only sped up. Hold on. Let me listen one more time.
I'm an immigrant. I mean,
well,
violent
undocumented,
crime.
Undocumented, so we wouldn't know.
Violent crimes.
We wouldn't know who they are, and we have no idea who these people are coming into our country.
Texas did a comprehensive.
She kind of sounds like Pokemon, right? A little bit? Especially sped up, right?
Citizen or the average undocumented immigrant.
Well,
I mean, violent
crime. So we wouldn't know.
Violent crimes.
We actually wouldn't know who they are, and we have no idea who these people are coming into our country.
Texas did a comprehensive study.
But there's no background check on them. They don't exist in this country,
absolutely.
So we have no idea who they are.
They do.
The burden
of proof would be on you.
They're just allowed to come in here. Do you understand what sanctuary cities are?
Of course.
They're allowed to just come in here and they get everything for free.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely. Oh my God. People are coping saying no.
You're about to bring her over to her friend's house. As you're driving your daughter over to her friend's house, you learn at the last minute that her father had not only been sexually assaulted or civilly liable for sexual abuse, her father also at the same time. Sorry, let me restart that. 1 second. Imagine you're taking your daughter over to her friend's house, and as you're going over there, you learn that her friend's father had been held civilly liable for sexual abuse. He was best friends with prolific sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, and it said that he could just walk in on girls in dressing rooms like he did in the Howard Stern show. Would you let your daughter go over to that person's house?
The chances would be actually the same, because I wouldn't know who those people are, the undocumented immigrants.
Well, no. Would you bring your daughter over to that person's house?
I don't think so.
Okay,
but
I would never bring my daughter to
a house that I don't even know who the parents are. I don't know where they come from.
Well,
I don't know where
the average
is.
Undocumented immigrant commits lower crimes than Donald Trump.
There's no statistics on that because they're undocumented.
There are statistics on this.
But they're undocumented.
From PNAS.
Where are they coming from? Do you know their past life? Do you know?
Wait, so when a crime,
do you know where in what country
you realize,
they're keeping track of them? No, you don't, because they don't take any of that data when they come here.
Listen,
you slap a name on them and they allow them.
You
to
realize when a violent crime,
so,
when a violent crime is committed, it's likely.
Yeah, but most
listen,
of the time they're let go because they're undocumented, so it doesn't go on any criminal record. So those statistics are actually very smeared.
You were trying to say that most people are let go for violent crimes. That's not true.
They are.
When a violent crime occurs, somebody necessarily will likely report it, right? So when it's reported, that goes into the overall stats. When they do the arrests, it shows that undocumented immigrants are way less likely to be arrested
because they are not being caught. They are not being documented. They are undocumented immigrants. They're illegal. You're committing a crime by being here.
So the burden of proof would be on you to prove that undocumented immigrants commit crimes at two times higher rates.
And they went through the legal process of becoming a U.S. citizen, then they would be able to prove if they're a criminal or not because they would have a background check. But these people are coming in here undocumented with no way to prove that.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
If somebody were held civilly liable for sexual abuse, would you?
That was a Pokemon, absolutely. It was.
But these people are coming in here undocumented with no way to prove that.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
If somebody were held civilly liable of sexual abuse, would you let them immigrate to the country legally?
No, but we don't know that.
So Donald Trump was held civilly liable of sexual abuse, and you're okay with him being the president.
Absolutely, but we wouldn't know if they're being held accountable for that or not, because there's no record.
There's a major problem here. That you're denying all of Trump's past, all of Trump's Jeffrey Epstein connections, everything.
Pause, pause. You've been eliminated by the group.
That was good. Thank you.
Awesome.
That was really good. Sprinter,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
I appreciate you being out here.
Thank you.
Going against all of us. Of course. So explain to me more of what you're trying to say. Are you trying to say that Trump's like an evil man?
No. So there's a massive problem with Donald Trump when it relates to power dynamics. Throughout his entire career, this is a man who has abused power dynamics every step of the way. On the Howard Stern show, he one time said that he walks into dressing rooms of people changing because he owns a beauty pageant, and they no one says anything. You think that's bad, right? Donald Trump also said he grabs women by the pussy because they let them do it. That happened, right?
Yes.
So then he was also asked in a deposition a few years later, "Do you consider yourself a star?" And he said, "I would consider myself a star." So he's basically conceding right there that he's a star who can do it. So my point is, Donald Trump throughout the years has abused his power dynamics by not only walking into girls in dressing rooms, but also being best friends with Jeffrey Epstein, sending Jeffrey Epstein letters while Jeffrey Epstein is at the peak of his sex trafficking. Meanwhile, the average undocumented immigrant doesn't have any power to abuse. Yes, there are crimes committed by undocumented immigrants. Yes, coming to the country illegally is a crime, but when we're talking about sexual crimes on the outer edges, and by the statistics, Donald Trump is way more likely to commit one.
So that's your claim. Yep. So first and foremost, we got to talk about, so you're for immigration.
Legal immigration.
I am on the same page with you.
Hell yeah.
Of course. So I'm glad that we do agree on this other aspect, that we don't like men in dressing rooms, right? I'm glad we do agree on that.
You hit him up with the gawk jokes. He got it with the gawk. He got it with the gawk jokes.
But no, of course I don't. Wait, why would I?
Right.
Oh, he didn't
That's
know.
A whole different thing with trans.
So you don't claim you to be. Can you just say it's kind of weird that the president of the United States has bragged repeatedly about grabbing women because they let you do it?
Okay. Another important thing to keep in mind is that when did Trump do all these things that he's being accused of? Was he a Republican or was he a known Democrat?
Does his ideology?
What? Well, he was a Democrat when he was a sex. Can you assign points like that? Is that how that works? That was Democrat Trump. We're talking about Republican Trump right now.
When did Trump do all these things that he's being accused of? Was he a Republican or was he a known Democrat?
Does his ideology matter?
I think it does, because it shows you who you're surrounded around can affect your decision. I'm saying like Trump at the time. He was 68 years a Democrat.
You want to talk about who we're surrounded by? The Republican Party.
68 years a Democrat.
Is literally covering up Jeffrey Epstein. The Republican Party is covering up Matt Gaetz. Do you remember when Matt Gaetz was being investigated because he had Venmoed 17-year-old girls? Do you remember this? And then Speaker of the House Mike Johnson refused to allow information to come out. And then the Epstein case. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson refuses to allow stuff to come out. So it's kind of weird to me that you guys want to, sometimes, not you, but people try to paint every undocumented immigrant as some violent sex offender when the president of the United States is.
That's the thing we don't know about these undocumented immigrants. You see, my stance is we need legal immigration.
I agree.
I'm glad we agree on that.
Can I ask you, would you let your daughter go over to her friend's house if the scenario that I laid out earlier existed?
I wouldn't want her around, but here's the thing. Trump, if he was truly what they're claiming he is to be, why does his granddaughters love him? Why do his children love him? Right, you would assume if he has those tendencies, he would, like, hopefully not, but the
first
situation
of all,
is pedophiles do that.
He's said a lot of weird things about his own daughter, but even if I were to concede that he treats his own children well, what about Virginia Giuffre, who was groomed out of his Mar-a-Lago spa? I'm sure no one in this room would want their daughter to be in the Mar-a-Lago spa in the early 2000s where Jeffrey Epstein was grooming women out. So when you look at statistics and you look at the proportions, you are much, much safer with the average undocumented immigrant than with Donald Trump, Mr. Mar-a-Lago sex trafficker.
So
we've been animated by the... Got him.
Appreciate you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Okay, so the first thing I want to say is you mentioned Howard Stern. I think there's some really important context to note when we talk about Howard Stern, which is that show was in the early 2000s. They always tried to egg their guests on to be extremely edgy and say things that would basically stir things up. And so with that context in mind, that is not an actual admission that he did it.
Well, what about the fact that four 15-year-old girls said that Donald Trump walked in their dressing room when they were part of his beauty pageant?
I don't know about that.
I mean, whether or not that's true, I want to get to a larger point here. Okay, so if that is
true. And you condemn it.
If that is true, then
Donald Trump said it himself.
He said it.
And then four women corroborated.
And we have to understand even more. I don't know the context of that. So if that is true, I haven't looked at evidence, so I need the evidence. But I want to ask, because I think this question really is about a larger immigration policy. What immigration policy are you supporting?
I support on the highest level.
Who joined? Who is that?
The guy who said he wasn't going to go to bed.
Oh, the Matriarch event is in 30 minutes.
Is it 30 more minutes?
Isn't it? Or check. God damn it.
All right, 25 minutes. Yeah. I'll be back.
Yeah, go build, loser.
Immigration policy where people come into the country legally, where we know every single person who is in the country at all times because we don't want undocumented people going around, in a way that we can have people be competitive in the labor market for immigrants to just integrate into society in a solid way. So I think there's a way better way to do that than, number one, what Trump is doing. Number two, the deportations that he's enacting are crazy.
So now I want to also ask, do you support welfare?
Do I support welfare?
That would be like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Yeah, sure, to a certain extent.
So
yeah, not for illegal
here's
people.
Here's what I want to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
Illegal immigration, or in this case, you want it to be legal.
Legal, ideally,
yes,
yeah.
They would all collect on welfare. And if you look at it overall, it would be a net drain on the economy.
That's not
true. Yes, that is true. And studies that have estimated against against it do stuff like estimating that every 1 out of 9 has a graduate or PhD, which is just blatantly false.
That is not true. And a few things. Every single study on this topic shows that when immigrants move to the country, especially when they're higher, when they're PhDs as well, they give more in taxes, they give more in building. Then what about Giovanni Perry's 2016 study saying that when immigrants move to the country, they are in net benefits? Can you cite a study of the opposite?
He kind of got him.
I can cite theory. I can cite theory.
No, so you asked me for a study, you can cite
got him.
No, there is a study by the American Foundation.
How are you going to ask for one and not have one to cite?
No, I'm talking about the policy that you're trying to back is going to cause a net harm on the economic future.
What's your prescription? You want no legal immigration to the country?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so what's your prescription?
You can't have mass migration and welfare at the same time. You have to choose between the two. Otherwise, there will be a net drain on the economy.
That's
this has been well noted through economists like Milton Friedman. And
oh, Milton Friedman.
You've been animated by
that was good. Thanks.
What's up?
Good to meet you, man.
Great to meet you as well.
I'm Kai. Adam, I think I like what you're doing rhetorically. It's a very interesting strategy.
Where do you disagree?
Well, I disagree in large degree with the framing. Would you agree with the framing that a child is probably safer off with the average illegal immigrant than with Joseph Biden? I think that's what Republican claim. Perfect. Now that we've agreed kind of that the framing is
safer, can you point to Joe Biden being friends with prolific sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a web of connections.
Did Joe Biden have girls groomed out of his Mar-a-Lago spa? Did Joe Biden have 26 different credible sexual assault allegations? Or did Joe Biden say that he grabs women because they let him do it? Any of those things?
Well, it's interesting because
I'm not here to say that Joe Biden's perfect, but I just think that equivalency is crazy. I wouldn't want my daughter around.
I agree. I think the equivalency of the average illegal immigrant Donald Trump is crazy. The way that we assemble those statistics is absolutely ridiculous. If you were to take, what's the sample size in your study? How many illegal immigrants were included as a part of the study?
It was in Texas from 2012 to 2019. I don't know the exact sample
size. Let's assume it's over 1,000. It's statistically significant. There is a power there in the value that the study has concluded with. If we have 1,000 Donald Trumps, which of the two will have been more guilty of violent crimes?
Wait a minute.
The Donald Trump, what? Donald Trump himself is guilty of like 1,000 crimes. What are you talking about? What?
If you have 1,000 Donald Trumps versus 1,000 undocumented immigrants,
one group will have committed violent crimes, the other
will not.
That's true.
No, that is
the
statistics show.
Which violent crime has he actually been convicted of?
He was held civilly liable of sexual abuse, sexual assault, number one. But number two, when you take 1,000 people, you take 1,000 undocumented immigrants,
you have
1,000 Donald Trumps, the statistics show that those 1,000 Donald Trumps will abuse way more women.
Way
26
more.
Versus the average undocumented immigrant commits violent crimes at a 2 times lower rate than the native-born citizen.
That's
Donald Trump commits crimes at a higher rate than the native-born
citizen.
That's interesting. Now you see what I'm doing rhetorically?
Absolutely. Okay. I do see what you're doing, and what you're doing is trying to remove the effect of the crime from the actual people who are affected by it, which is why you're saying, well, Donald Trump was in a room with you. The issue is when you analyze the amount of crime that these illegal immigrants are actually perpetrating, and when you compare it and say that blanket statement, right, that they are less violent than the average native-born American, you're not comparing it individually to each group. Levels of crime, the rates of crime among groups in this country differ significantly based on where you are and based on what the group is. Would you say
that's why I said average? I mean, you can point to a specific area, but that's why it's average.
You understand that?
Would you let someone who's held civilly liable of sexual abuse immigrate into the country legally?
You understand?
No.
Well, no, I don't think so. No,
but you have to be the president.
You're not engaging with the statistic that you brought up at the beginning.
Okay.
And again, the framing that you are providing, if we were to be statistically consistent, would say that with the average illegal immigrant, you are safer than with the average Black American. Would you agree with that framing?
With the average illegal immigrant, you're safer with the average Black American. Yeah, because Black Americans commit crimes
at a disproportionate rate.
No, sure.
Okay, so you understand how framing can significantly shape the...
Oh, that was a beast! Fucking Kai had a whole dialogue tree he was about to run down on that Black crime shit, and he just got... absolutely stymied. I think it's where they're right. He got annihilated on that. Good job, Adam. Whoa.
Because Black Americans commit crimes
at a disproportionate rate.
No, sure.
Okay, so you understand how framing can significantly shape the way that we engage in these conversations. I don't think every Black person is going to kill me, but there is a disproportionality around it.
But the thing is, not every immigrant is going to abuse you.
100%.
Every one of those 1,000 Donald Trumps will abuse their power dynamics. Absolutely. Donald Trump throughout his entire life.
And none of them will commit violent crime.
Donald Trump throughout his entire life is somebody who has abused every power dynamic available to him to prey on girls. Would you let your daughter in the Mar-a-Lago spa if it were 2001?
No, I wait a minute.
Trump is supposed to be safe. Trump's Mar-a-Lago spa isn't safe.
You're drawing these equivalencies between a property that an individual owns, what occurs on that property, and a condoning of it by that individual.
He said,
yeah, but he knew. But yeah, sorry, bro. You like it's so funny because what he's saying is correct, by the way. Like when I talk about conspiracies, I'm like, well, you know, the reason why I generally don't believe in conspiracies is because it would require the coordination of a lot of people. They'd have to be acting with malice. You'd need like some level of proof. There'd have to be leaks. Like it's really hard to prove these. For Donald Trump, all of this stuff is easily proven. We've got email leaks. We've got multiple statements from multiple people, right? I'm not even talking about the Epstein stuff, but for the Epstein stuff, Donald Trump outside that airplane, remember, he literally said, yeah, we knew he took one girl. We told him to stop doing it. And then he took a second one and then we banned him. And I know who those people are and I know the names and that's my mobile. Like, bro, it's all the elements are satisfied easily.
Would you let your daughter in the Mar-a-Lago spa if it were 2001?
No, I
wait a minute. Trump is supposed to be safe. Trump's Mar-a-Lago spa isn't safe.
You're drawing these equivalencies between a property that an individual owns, what occurs on that property, and a condoning of it by that individual.
He said he likes him young. He was talking about Jeffrey Epstein.
That is an absolute false equivalency. Okay, show me what. How do those two comments relate to each other?
When Donald Trump said in 2003, Jeffrey Epstein likes him young.
I'm looking for a clear consistency.
Okay, let me finish.
Oh, I wonder if Adam must know it, right? This was a senile moment from Trump. I can't believe he said this. Because he did the Kanye thing where he's like, well, I don't want to get into that. And then he got into it. It was so crazy. 5 months ago, 30,000 views. Nobody cared about this. In my opinion, this is one of the crazy, this is probably the most direct crazy thing Trump has said with relation to Epstein, and nobody really gave a fuck.
As President Trump headed home from Scotland, he identified a prominent sexual abuse accuser of Jeffrey Epstein, Virginia Giuffre, as a former Mar-a-Lago employee who had been recruited by Epstein to work for him instead, causing a falling out with Mr. Trump.
He stole her. And by the way, she had no complaints about us, as you know. None whatsoever.
Giuffre, who died by suicide.
This is dog shit. Give me the original one. Because it starts with him saying, like, I don't want to get into specifics or blah, blah, blah. And then he starts going off. Was it this?
Claiming she
said, listen, we don't want you taking
of sexual abuse.
This is more of it, but.
When I heard about it, I told them, I said, listen, we don't want you taking our people, whether it was spa or not spa. I don't want him taking people. And he was fine. And then not too long after that, he did it again. And I said, out of here.
Again. Stolen, again.
You know, persons. That include Virginia Giuffre?
I don't know.
I don't know. Wait.
I think she worked at the spa. I think so. I think that was one of the people. Yeah. He stole her.
Meanwhile, Maxwell has offered to testify before...
Two girl, he let her... At least two. He said at least two. He admitted to two. For no reason. Also, this is some shit you usually torture people to get out of. He just admitted he's... For no reason, he just says it. But, like, yeah, that's just wild to me. I wonder if Adam's aware of that clip. Oh, my God.
Donald Trump says in 2003, Jeffrey Epstein likes him young. That happened, right?
Oh, wait, what is that?
Wait,
what is
that? Let me finish that happened.
Sure.
Okay. 3 years earlier, Virginia Giuffre was groomed out of his spa by Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump held private parties in the 90s where him and Jeffrey Epstein, just those two, had 20 calendar girls. You can look this up. I hope there's one on screen.
Were any of the
calendar girls? Okay, what about the 15-year-old girls that Donald Trump walked in on in his dressing rooms? I mean, no one here. Again, I've had three people say they wouldn't let their daughter around Trump. Three people say they wouldn't let their daughter around Trump.
I wouldn't let my daughter around Joseph Biden.
That's
again,
fine. I'm not defending Biden.
Well, you don't have to defend a thing. You haven't staked out a position.
Biden,
you've easily admitted that once we change the framing to talk, for example, about things that are more relevant to the average person. For instance, the average person who is living in Texas, right? The way that these people are going to feel the effects of migration are not as an average. There is no cookie cutter average American.
The study was done in Texas.
Hold on, I understand that. That's why I'm citing the study. That's
the highest immigration state. Yeah, yeah.
Here's the point.
Oh,
that was really good. Appreciate it, man. Likewise, it's good to meet you.
Yeah, great to meet you.
He got outvoted.
Quick.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Great to meet you as well.
Thank you very much for having this conversation.
This is great.
Okay, so I want to start with by saying I think your claim is actually quite absurd because it's really a nothing burger. If Donald Trump is, you know, worse for my to be a babysitter for my child than an average illegal immigrant, that doesn't really mean anything.
True, though.
I wouldn't let my kid with anyone. I wouldn't let my kid with Harris, with Biden, with Destiny.
What?
There's so many, like are you serious?
Bring me back.
You can see that your kid's probably not safe with Donald Trump.
I think this is a red herring. What I really want to talk about, what I really care about, is are our kids safer under Donald Trump or under a potential Kamala Harris administration? Because if you really think about it, when we're analyzing the safety of our children, Kamala Harris is pro-abortion. Kamala Harris likes transgender surgeries for our minors and hormone therapies. But if we're talking about specifically immigration, her open border policies was absolutely drastic.
Okay, wait, you want to talk about which administration kids are better off under? The big, beautiful bill that we were just all talking about in the last segments will remove, over the next decade, hundreds of thousands of people from having school lunch. Free school lunch. Are you supporting free school lunch? Do you support free school lunch?
What I want to talk to you about.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about trans stuff right now.
Okay. No. You were just talking about children's safety and
America. I'll tell you, I need to propose to you why I think we are going to be safer under Donald Trump than under.
Because of transgender people?
Because of illegal immigration. Under Kamala Harris's open border policy, we had an influx of illegal immigration, many of which caused children to go missing. But furthermore, Donald Trump is really good at promoting national sovereignty and national identity. And I think that's really the core issue at hand here when we talk about immigration. And we see Donald Trump promoting deportations, promoting enforcement on the border is going to unify the nation and bring us back to our national identity.
What about the great unifier?
People illegally here are now terrified that they're going to be deported along with their parents, as do people were. What about the kids
that
we kicked off of free
school deportations?
How are you going to make a comparison? I got to mention this.
Donald Trump's promotion of national security and national sovereignty in his strict border enforcement policies is what's going on. His talk about mass deportations, it's really good for creating a deterrence effect, truthfully, on illegal immigration coming to the nation. But what I really want to talk about is that Democrats say all the time that diversity is our strength. And I completely reject that notion. I think unity is our strength. Yes,
okay,
let me ask you a thought experiment.
Sure.
If I were to take you and drop you off into South Africa, you wouldn't know what's going on. You don't understand the culture. You don't understand the language. You don't understand what the people around you are doing.
Wait,
now, imagine
diversity.
If you were to go to, forgot that Cape Cod, is that? Did I just make that up? Or am I summoning this from the deep recesses of my mind? What's the name of South Africa's capital? Cape Town, not Cape Cod. Do most of the people there speak English, or am I crazy?
That's happening. Now imagine every single person in the United States felt that way. We'd be in total chaos. No one would understand anything that's going on.
Do you think everyone in the United States feels that way right now?
Together as a unified nation.
Do you think people feel that way right now?
I think under the left's radical administration, they are promoting
Let me respond very quickly. You said a lot. There was a moment where you said something about rather than diversity, we need unity.
Yes.
Well, both coincide. When we have a diverse nation, a melting pot, as we do, all you can ask for is unity. We have a president of the United States right now who is trying to get the military to boo my side. He called my side NASA need to be taken care of, and he did this. There's a clip of it online.
In order to have unity, you need to assimilate to an idea, which is the idea of America, the American freedom.
So what's your broader point?
Yeah, my broader point is that right now,
can you concede that children are safer with the average
immigrant? I would say if we
will,
I got. Please let me finish.
Yeah.
Okay. So under the Trump administration, children are safer than under the Democrat open border policies that we saw.
Open border.
By what statistic?
By the border enforcement statistics. How many people across the border since Trump came into office?
Yeah. You want to know what other countries have zero?
Okay, you obviously want to talk about the issue.
I will concede right away that Donald Trump has decreased both immigration and tourism into the United States.
Yeah, so
you want to know what other country has zero immigration and zero tourism? North Korea. Russia has no tourism.
Yeah, that's crazy. But you need to have the American idea to understand to and assimilate to.
Thank you. That was good. That was really best argument. My last claim is Donald Trump is the most corrupt president in American history.
Hi, I'm
Blake. Nice to meet you, Blake.
Thanks for being here.
This is a great conversation.
I think that Donald Trump maybe is one of the least corrupt presidents in American history. I think that Donald Trump came out of a very corrupt system, not himself, but the America that elected Trump saw what happened after years of Democrat control, after years of Clintons and Obamas and all the same. And Trump came along and he said, we have to change this. We have to be uncorrupt. We have to be done with these people that coming in, they have these donors controlling them. Think about that 2016 debate. Hillary Clinton came in and she was controlled by the donors. Trump came in and said, I'm spending my own money. I'm not controlled.
I'm spending my own money? This guy's like double. He's made like $3 billion increase in
net. Rigged for years, and it has been. But what Donald Trump did is not unrig the system. He re-rigged it for himself. When he got into office, his net worth was $4.3 billion. Can you guess by how much his net worth has increased over the past 9 months?
Thank you.
Wait, can you just guess? Oh,
now the liberals want to talk about making money in office. Well, that was your point. God damn it.
Care.
Okay, so Donald Trump.
Our net worth is higher. Donald Trump
it's
made
not.
Our net worth higher.
Okay, how did he make your net worth higher by starting a Trump coin? The name of
lower taxes.
No,
he increased business in America. He keeps us safe.
He's not increased business in America. I'm sorry, but businesses
wars.
Are struggling under tariffs.
Wars,
Donald Trump's net worth. So Joe Biden's net worth during his term went from $8 million. Let me finish.
Please.
To $11 million. That is a $3 million increase from real estate, from investments that he had. Donald Trump over the past 9 months has gained $3 billion in wealth through a few things. Right before he got into office, he started World Liberty Financial, which is a way for people to buy cryptocurrency named Trump Coin. You know about Trump Coin, right?
I do.
Are you okay with Trump Coin?
I mean, I'm not sure that's on him.
It is on him.
It's called Trump Coin. What? What? I'm not sure that's on him. It's his name. What? Did he really just say that? Did he really just? No shot. Did he just say something so crazy?
Has gained.
I said Ninja, by the way.
$3 billion in wealth through a few things. Right before he got into office, he started World Liberty Financial, which is a way for people to buy cryptocurrency named Trump Coin. You know about Trump Coin, right?
I do.
Are you okay with Trump Coin?
I mean, I'm not sure that's on him.
It is on him. He literally 2 days before his inauguration leveraged the hype of
how
it to launch
think,
it.
I can't. How much do you think Trump knows about?
Wait for the guy who listens to me, who does the sound things. I need the realities, whatever I want it to be. I need that on my soundboard. Okay.
Meme points.
Okay, the thing is, it doesn't have to know about it for him to know it's a good channel of corruption. So, you know who Justin Sun is?
Tell me.
A Chinese foreign entrepreneur who is being investigated by the SEC for market manipulation and fraud.
Wait,
Justin
who did
Sun
he not know?
Trump knows about meme points.
Okay, the thing is, it doesn't have to know about it for him to know it's a good channel of corruption. So, you know who Justin Sun is?
Tell me.
A Chinese
Please.
Foreign entrepreneur who is being investigated by the SEC for market manipulation and fraud. Justin Sun decided to buy $70 billion worth of cryptocurrency. It was billion, actually. And then he was allowed to step foot back in the United States for the first time in years because the SEC dropped the investigation. Donald Trump's wealth increase of $3 billion has allowed people to literally get favors, corrupt people to get favors. You can't point to anything like that with Biden.
Really?
Yeah, where did he increase his wealth by like $3 billion?
Look at Hunter Biden. Remember Biden's doing Ukraine. Look at all that.
What's Hunter Biden's net worth?
Much larger than it was before his father was in the Senate. And
he has no idea. Just, you know this in your mind. Millions to billions is like comparing singles to thousands, okay? When somebody said, I made $5, you know, doing something for my friend, another guy's like, I made $5,000, right? The $5 is nothing. When you're four orders of magnitude off, it's not even a factor. It's the saying, what's the difference between a million and a billion? It's a billion. What's the difference between 1,000 and one? It's 1,000. It's not even remotely comparable. Also, I'm pretty sure Hunter has a negative net worth right now.
Presidency.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. You don't?
I mean, if your argument is that Hunter Biden is corrupt and that Trump is less corrupt, so you're saying Trump is the second corrupt person.
I want to take it.
You've been animated by
that was good. Thank you. What's up?
Isaac.
Nice to meet you, Isaac.
Awesome. So your claim, just to make sure, is that Trump is the most corrupt president of all time.
What about... There's one that everybody's like, this guy's corrupt.
Due diligence and evidence, you have to compare him to every other president? Because you said most.
Can you name... this guy shut us off with it. I want you to name every other president, from start to finish. And then as soon as Adam Sumlin won, he's like, oh, well, if you can't name all the presidents, you don't even know their names, how do you know they're not the most corrupt?
So what other presidents have you done your due diligence to see what their corruption is and to make sure that he is the most corrupt?
Yeah, so I think Watergate is a really good analog. Nixon's Watergate was, like, at that time, the craziest thing to ever happen in a presidential administration.
Do you have proof of that?
So Watergate was awful, but my argument is there is a Watergate happening basically every single day. What Donald Trump has done is set up a few buckets for people to funnel money into, and then he uses those buckets to give favors. So I've already talked about the Trump coin, and I talked about Justin Sun, but there's other good examples. Like Melania Trump, for example, met with Jeff Bezos behind the scenes at the White House and then got a $40 million movie deal right away. It's interesting because a quick tangent that I want to go on. In the 90s, Hillary Clinton got in this huge, huge scandal because she made $100,000 a decade prior off of cattle futures. Donald Trump and his family make billions, billions. And this is like not even a blip in the news. So that's what I'd compare it to. Hillary, Watergate. Yeah.
So only Hillary and Nixon.
I mean, do you have any better analogs? Who would you say is more corrupt?
But my argument Hillary isn't so much who's more corrupt. It's that you're claiming that he's the most corrupt. You haven't done your due diligence on every other president.
There are big tentpole moments in history like Watergate. LBJ had some election corruption. But Donald Trump, between his big elector scheme, between his wealth.
Owned. Let Adam kick him out of here. He's owned.
In between the favors he's getting from Qatar. Do you know about the $400 million Qatari jet?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any analog in American history to the $400 million Qatari jet?
I don't know. I haven't studied all of it.
I'm also not making the claim that he's the most corrupt.
No, that's fine. I'm not trying to like press you or anything, but there's just no analog to this wealth increase and the favors that Donald Trump has given.
Okay. So you would equate financial gain to corruption and only financial gain to corruption?
No, there's a few other ways. There's like bribery, quid pro quo, there's pardons, there's certain things, yeah.
What I'm trying to get at is I'm not going to deny that everything that Trump has done has not had some emphasis of corruption, but what I am trying to point out is the fact that you are labeling him as the most, but completely disregarding every other presidency up until that point because you're
single one. I gave a really good example of 1992 when Hillary Clinton got in a big scandal, and then I compared how Melania Trump made like 4,000 times that money, you know? So, I mean, we can look at other analogs in history. There's never been a fake elector scheme. Do you remember Obama coin or Hillary coin? No, there was no Obama coin. There was no Hillary coin.
The coins after them.
Trump coin is unique in many ways.
Okay, but what does Trump coin equate to corruption? How
because
is it corrupt?
It's an untraceable way for people to funnel money into
Bitcoin
and get favors.
Corrupt?
No, because Bitcoin isn't being held.
Yeah, it would be if we had President Bit. What kind of a comparison is that?
By the president and used for favors. Donald Trump. So here's the thing. With Trump coin, it is not only untraceable, but people can tell Trump, hey, I'll donate to you. And then they not only gain leverage over him.
Okay.
He wasn't.
Wait.
Oh, damn. Great.
Hey, great to see you again.
Yeah, nice to chat again.
So I just want to say, and I'll address it. I do think there's a lot of corruption with the Trump administration, but I'm going to put that aside. I don't think it's the most corrupt administration, but that has a lot to do with definitions. First, I want to say, you call Trump a fascist. You strongly implied he's a pedophile who's escaped.
Oh. We're getting to the FedPost induction part. So if you say all of that, wouldn't it be moral for somebody to... wouldn't it be moral then for...
the law.
Do you think he's not a pedophile? Do you think he was...
I don't think that he sexually assaulted any children violently. And now you're saying he's the most corrupt president in U.S.
Why would you add that qualifier? You know that people say that you 10-year-olds, right? Just to be clear, I have never f***ed a 10-year-old non-consensually before. Why would you add that qualifier? Bruh, are you okay?
To me, it sounds like fascist, most corrupt in history, pedophile who's escaped the law because of his political influence or something. Don't you want Donald Trump dead?
Because the American political system should not have violence involved at it in any step. I think part of the beauty of America is that you and I are able to sit down across from each other or anybody in this room, and we're able to have a conversation, even if it gets a little bit feisty, even if people knock over the clock out accident, we're able to go around and have a good conversation. Nowhere in that process should violence be involved. When Charlie Kirk was shot, it shook me up. It's not good. That should never happen. Nobody should enact violence, and I tell my audience that all the time. You can call somebody corrupt. You can call somebody
Trump doesn't.
Donald Trump called Biden a fascist. Donald Trump said Biden and Kamala were
Gestapo.
Do you
think, like an example, do you think someone would have been justified in killing Hitler?
Justified in killing Hitler at the end of World War II?
You could say in the lead up, whenever he started putting Jews in gas chambers.
I think that the man who was genociding Jewish people could be justifiably killed, but Donald Trump isn't genociding any sort of group right now, so that's a little bit different.
Well, when I hear is fascist, and you say you attach all these things, so I think that there's a strong implication there that some violence is justified.
So
I think that has more to do with your watered down definition.
Wait, do you think that people in positions of power shouldn't call the other side fascist?
I will say the Trump administration uses divisive rhetoric.
So
this is easy because you can justify this based on the context or the environment that you see somebody in. So for instance, should you kill somebody who is trying to murder you? Or if there's like a murderer on the loose and you like see this guy, like, are you morally justified in killing him? Probably, yeah. But if you're in prison with another guy who's a murderer, are you morally justified in killing him? Well, no, he's in prison, right? This is not like a threat anymore, you know? If you are in Hitler's government, in a fascist regime that is genociding people, are you justified in killing him? I mean, maybe. I mean, a fascist regime, you know, violence is basically the only way to make your voice heard. Donald Trump, even if he is a fascist, still exists within a democratic republic, still exists within a constitutional, arguably, theoretically we are, where he is limited by the system that exists around him. So even if Donald Trump was literally Hitler, even if Hitler came back in time and took Donald Trump's place, you arguably wouldn't be justified in trying to kill him because you still have a democratic system by which you can hold him accountable.
Kamala fascist? Was he calling for Kamala to be killed?
No.
Why not?
Because there's not this consistent
force. He did it over and over throughout
the campaign. There's not a consistent force of claims and a culture of the right that supports
Stephen Miller just said the Democratic Party isn't he said it's not a political party. It's a domestic extremist organization.
Yeah, there's differences with the audience that you're speaking to. So when Democrats say someone's a fascist, someone's violent, Democrats actually go out and commit these acts of violence, is what we see all the time.
Really?
All the time.
Yes, of course. You see this.
Basically, every single study, I can point to the one by the CSIS.
You cited a study on illegal immigrants earlier. There's no like
baseline.
What's the methodology of that study?
Yeah. Wait, the political violence study by the CSIS. Let's talk about this one very, very quickly. They go through all of the violent, lethal crime over the past decade, or maybe 2 decades.
And also, I want to say, there's a difference between the far right violence that's fully denounced,
like the fringes
of the Republican Party that aren't allowed anywhere near it. My problem is that leftist ideology,
lethal crimes over the past decade, or maybe 2 decades.
And when it shows with the Minnesota incident. And also, I want to say, there's a difference between the far right violence that's fully denounced. There's fringes of the Republican
Party. Fully denounced? I'm sorry. What is he watching? Am I missing all these news segments where Trump is fully denouncing violence on the right? I don't remember that. I remember stand back and stand by. And I remember Donald Trump saying that when the right commits violence, it's a righteous type of violence. And when the left does it, it's because they're just being, criminal. Where is all this Trump denouncing violence thing at? Please tell me.
Party that aren't allowed anywhere near. My problem is that leftist ideology is an ideology of violence.
That is not true.
The difference that I see between
Chuck Schumer is causing violence in Congress. Chuck Schumer.
Let me finish speaking. Okay. So the difference.
Chuck Schumer.
The difference that I see with Democrats and Republicans. Now I lost my train of thought. The Democrats do have a culture of supportive violence. The Republicans just don't.
Wait. Are you sure? Donald Trump pardoned 1,600 people who beat the shit out of cops. What's the analog to that with Democrats?
You're telling me that all of those people are violent offenders?
No, I'm saying that.
Why do they all have to be violent offenders? Okay. Well, in that case, and you agree that the BLM protests were all peaceful then, right? Because the vast majority of them were. Most of those people weren't committing violent acts, right? They were all peaceful, right? Even the riots that were riots were mostly peaceful, right?
How many of those people were violent offenders?
I mean, the amount of people that beat cops.
How many of them were violent offenders?
Probably a few dozens. A lot of them were
a few dozen. A few dozen. So upwards of 30 were violent offenders.
Wait, you're okay with a few dozen people, violent people?
Trump went out of his way to not pardon violent offenders.
He pardoned everybody. It was a blanket pardon.
How do you not even have the right facts on this, you fuck? That's not the right slop talking point, by the way. The right slop talking point from the right, this guy must not have gotten his NPC updates, is supposed to be, sure, some of them were violent, but they already served more than enough time because they were held indefinitely without trial, blah, 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 is the slop talking point for that.
You're just lying right now. For the trespassing that happened on the Capitol.
Are you going to concede that Trump is the most corrupt president in American history?
No, I'm not.
Okay, then let's go back to this.
So my definition of corruption would be for personal gain doing things. And I would say going up for a bid for re-election would also be corruption if you do things you know are bad for the country in order to get re-elected. So that for that reason, and I'll grant you it's an unconventional definition, I would say probably FDR or LBJ are most corrupt in American
history. Was she having a panic attack?
Your definition wasn't even that far off mine.
Did you just say LBJ or FDR?
And I'll grant you it's an unconventional definition. I would say probably FDR or LBJ are most corrupt in
of
American
course.
History.
Your definition wasn't even that far off mine. It's using public office for private gain, which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know about your election analogy.
So
but the
LBJ,
thing is,
you think I'll have those N-words voting Democrat for the next 200
that's
years.
That's not corruption. That's racism.
No, that is corruption. It's him saying I'm going to give things to this section of the population.
How is that?
Now I let you finish. There you go.
Okay.
Speedy.
Hey.
Nice to see you again. Long time
glad
to see
be
you.
Back. I want to circle back to a point that you brought up, which was the Trump coin.
Yeah.
And can you explain why that's such a good example of corruption in your view?
It is the...
Bro, if Obama would have made Obama coin or if there was Clinton coin, every single Republican on the planet would have mass sold all of their crypto holdings and crypto would... And LLMs and the whole AI industry would just be dead. If there was an Obama coin or a Clinton coin, I can't even, bro. I can't even with these people.
Perfect example of corruption because Donald Trump leveraged the hype of his inauguration 2 days before to release a Trump coin and the name Melania coin. Not only is this unprecedented, this has never happened like this before, but it then led to an unprecedented wealth increase over the first 9 months.
Sure.
This wealth increase was through people funneling money into his Trump coin and getting favors in return.
Really quick, the reason it's probably unprecedented is because crypto's not been around for long enough for other presidents to have done something like that.
You think the next I bet you $20,000 right now, the next Democratic president doesn't make a... Democratic coin or whatever in their name.
Okay, but Jimmy Carter put his farm in a blind trust.
I will
Donald
concede that it was a scummy thing to do, but I don't think it's a clear sign of corruption.
It is.
When I think corruption, I think
Hunter Biden,
like not to circle back to Russiagate, but like the Obama administration literally spied on like the leading Republican candidate's campaign and tried to frame him for treason.
This is not true. But do you think that's more corrupt than getting $3 billion in net worth increase? And
from the like crypto poll, I mean, yeah, because I don't see the clear tie between like the Trump coin and like political action.
Trump coin is owned 75% by Trump and his family. It vests throughout the term, meaning money gets released to Trump and his family. What this allows is for people in an untraceable manner to donate to this and then get favors. Like
I
said earlier,
you don't know any of that's happening.
Wait, Justin Sun was allowed to-
We can't know. It's anonymous. It's fucking crypto, motherfucker. What are you even saying? What the That's the whole point. That's the problem.
Step foot in the United States and then went to a private dinner with Trump in the executive branch.
Know that it's because of Trump coin. You don't know that any of this is happening with that. Trump has sold a lot of cheap products. He sells Trump watches, he sells Trump commemorative coins, and he sells a Trump cryptocurrency. To me, it seems like he's like a businessman who's been doing business for his entire life, and he's just doing another business.
I want to draw a distinction.
If they sold Trump cum shots, would you be drinking that down in the summer to cool off? What an absolute cuckold for Donald Trump. I know why these guys all called me a cuckold now. It was projection. These guys fantasize about sitting in the chair watching Trump having threesome with middle schoolers. These guys are this is the most shameless shit I've ever heard in my entire. It seems like you're just a good businessman, bro. It sounds like you're mad because he's just hitting that young puss, bro. It sounds like you're mad because he's a amazing. But come on, are we serious right now?
Scummy thing to do. I think like selling cheap commemorative coins is scummy.
I think it's really important to draw a distinction between monetizing your name, monetizing the presidency by selling things, and actual corruption. So what Donald Trump is doing,
corruption. I think this is the same example.
Okay, so when Donald Trump gets a $400 million jet from Qatar, and then Qatar builds a $5.5 billion golf course in their country, and now Trump is doing joint training exercises with them in the United States, is that quid pro quo corruption?
I don't know all the details for that. So
do you know about $400
million? I don't know anything about it.
Is that personal gain?
I don't.
Is that for the American people?
That wasn't given to Trump. It was given to like the government.
It was given to Trump. So after Trump's term, where does it go?
I believe into like the government's property.
The Trump Presidential Library. It is only for Trump to use.
Is the presidential library owned by Trump?
It is only for Trump to use.
Is it owned by the government? They gave it to the government. And after Trump's term, it's going to the government.
No, it's going to his presidential library.
If the government owns it, they can like take it from the presidential library and put it somewhere else.
Just conceding that it's fine to take $400 million gifts, even though it violates the emoluments clause, which says you can't take gifts from other countries. That is just definitely.
I think there's far greater issues of corruption.
I think I don't mind the way that Adam is fighting at this point, but I think you should just go one step further and be like, Mouton. You should just ask, like, how does the jet benefit Americans? Can you tell me how the Qatari jet is benefiting the average American? I want to hear this. Please tell me. How does it benefit us? Do you feel benefited?
Me?
No, just in general.
The Qatari jet?
When people are like, oh, the Qatari jet was for Americans.
How was I benefited?
It doesn't help.
Well, hold on. It made me hate Trump that much more and pushed me a little bit further, you know?
True.
In voting.
Okay, I'm almost done with this, probably like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Can we queue up just one more Stellar run, and I'm going to, I have the ion boxes for you, and I think I have, can you make the advanced electrical components? Check. I just need these frequency modulation boxes. They usually appear in the assembly part.
Let me look how many I got.
You can craft them too. Advanced electrical components? You need 5 of them, apparently. Or do you need a blueprint for that? You can't make them?
No, I can make them. I can make them.
Yeah, then tell me how many you can make.
In our country's history, I think singling out this one, the government was given a jet by one of our allies, is not all that.
If you can hand wave Trump coin and the wealth increase, and you can hand wave other countries giving him gifts, then
I'm not necessarily hand waving it. I'm just saying your claim is he's the most corrupt president.
Because he's rigging the system for himself.
But you are speculating that
it's not speculation.
You are speculating. You're speculating that there was a quid pro quo going on with Trump and Qatar. You're speculating that he funneled money into Trump's campaign.
What about a few days ago when the leader?
There are like clear examples that we've seen that there are released documents.
So that's clear. Wait, that's clear. But
there are released documents of RussiaGate and it being a hoax. They all knew it was like
the documents didn't say what you think they said.
The killer response to that, when somebody says like, oh, there was the whole Russiagate hoax where they just tried to pin this bullshit on Donald Trump. Oh, so all of the people were involved, Obama, all of the intelligence agencies, all the heads, Hillary Clinton's campaign. Two questions then. There are really two good questions. One is, why was none of this leaked before the vote, before the election, so that it could actually be used against him? And two, then where are the fabricated indictments? Why didn't they just indict him? Why didn't they just make some shit up and indict him? If they had this much control over all of this, then why didn't they just indict him on shit? And they're going to say some shit about, well, they didn't find evidence. Who cares? Fabricate it. If you're saying that there was a whole Russiagate hoax, wouldn't fake indictments literally be part of the hoax? Why would you stop right before faking the indictments? Why would you fake every single part of it except for the indictment part? The most important part of it. That's so stupid.
They did say it.
They did not.
Okay. Thank you.
That was intense. Welcome back.
Okay, so the prompt is that Trump's the most corrupt president, right? Yeah, so I would like to make a reference to something I spoke about previously, the Biden administration and the millions of immigrants, illegal undocumented immigrants that they were letting in that were disservicing the poverty population and the lowest margin below, legal immigrants that were coming in and working hard to get those opportunities, and they were rigging the system for illegal undocumented immigrants to receive all the benefits that all these people work for citizenship to get.
First of all, these were asylum seekers. The border wasn't just open. There was an abuse of the asylum system.
But it was open. But people were just coming through. How come in August there was 265,000 undocumented immigrants that came in with no papers and no just process?
This August?
No, last August. Hold on, let me.
Okay.
I miss my major.
No, you're good. You're good.
Ready up.
Trust me, you're good.
Sorry, guys. Hold on. Anyway, so what I see as corruption is I see my grandparents with tears in their eyes because they don't qualify for Medi-Cal because our tax dollars are going towards people we don't even know are here and that are being brought here and throwing off.
I don't think people should come here illegally. We agree on that. I think that Biden's border policy was rather indefensible. I don't agree with the fact that it was an open border, but I would never defend Biden's border policy. I think that it was sloppy and he should have been stronger on it.
It was corrupt.
Well, not corrupt. What's your definition of corruption?
Corruption, I believe, is when things are happening that are an injustice to the people, and I believe that the disproportionate
immigration,
thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are just coming in, first of all, taking entry-level jobs from legal immigrants that are saving up the money to keep their permanent citizenship and keep them here.
That's a different topic. Do you know what the fake elector scheme is?
I do.
Back when Trump lost the election, he did the fake elector scheme. Mm-hmm. How would you describe it to me? Here, I'll just...
Didn't there was some sort of phone call, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, what do you know about Hunter Biden? Oh, well, so the attorney general in Ukraine was Viktor Shokin, and I happen to know that Devin Archer and Hunter Biden were the CEO, or they sat on the board of an energy company called Burisma that was responsible for 47% of the energy generation from natural... And it's like, what the...
Call has something to do with it, but essentially, electors in each state certified...
How come legal immigrants were allowed to vote for Biden, and they were being told if they vote...
What?
For Biden, that they would be able to come here and receive all these benefits. That's isn't that corruption as well, right?
Who told them that?
The Biden administration.
Biden never said that.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
They were being
that.
Brought in here to vote for him.
Let me just finish
and
off.
Given a free pass to be here.
Damn, they voted off like 12 seconds.
Thank you. Hey. Sorry, I didn't.
No, just trust me. You're fine. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
So at the end of the day, do you think Trump has been a net positive to this country? You call him a fascist. You're calling him all these terrible terms. Do you think Trump has done good things?
Has what? Trump done good things? Sure. I think Operation Warp Speed was good. Do I think he's a net benefit to this country? No, I think the erosion of democratic norms that we've seen throughout Trump's term is absolutely absurd. I want to repivot to the fake elector scheme because I think that one's really, really important. Essentially, what Donald Trump did was, after he lost the election, he understood that he lost the election. There were electors in seven swing states. He had people forge their signature and act like they were the duly elected electors when they weren't.
Who was the president the past 4 years?
Biden,
right.
But at the time, this was Trump. This was when the transition of power was happening.
He still worked within the confines of democracy.
He did not. The fake elector scheme was necessarily illegal. That's why people were arrested and indicted. That's why all of the fake electors in the state of Georgia were arrested on a RICO charge. And Donald Trump's corrupt ass then said, let's pause this investigation.
But you call him a fascist. He works within the confines of democracy. He's
It's not. Do you think the 2020 election was stolen?
I don't think it was.
Okay, so do you think that Donald Trump claims it was
stolen? He was not the president the past 4 years.
Does Donald Trump claim it was stolen?
He says there's serious arguments against why he should
not just
be
serious arguments. He said they stole it from me. He said this is awful. He said we need to take our country back.
Can you make deadlines?
You guys keep taking problem with me calling him a fascist, but then most of you guys can see that the 2020
election. Dangerous rhetoric.
Wait a minute. Okay. It's dangerous rhetoric to convince half the country that the election was stolen. Do you think it's fascistic to try to thwart the peaceful transfer of power and get your vice president hung while he's certifying the election results?
He did.
He told them to go home peacefully.
Does Mike Pence support Trump today? Wait, what happened? Why isn't Mike Pence's VP right now?
Yes. Trump was not in office. He conceded. He didn't.
He never conceded. He has never conceded till this day. Can this pop up somewhere? He was in office when this happened.
In action. He didn't call the National Guard and come in and say.
He conceded in action by having his base storm the Capitol?
In 2028, he's going to, he's done, right?
I mean, he has a lot of 2028 hats. Is it okay to say that's a little bit weird and fascist?
He's
trolling.
He's doing incredible things for.
Like what?
He's making this country great in a lot of ways. He's bringing back a lot of jobs.
Excuse me, I am friendly. Why are you shooting at me?
Island and don't want to get caught. He's making this country great for all of the wrong people. Meanwhile, in our generation, unemployment is up. Prices have gone up. It's a mess.
I really do think that this rhetoric of hate really does need to stop from the left. So you're comparing someone to Mussolini, Hitler, Franco, all these guys. It's evil, and we just can't have this in this democracy.
I'm not saying he's genociding people like Hitler, but I'm saying the election denial, the erosion of democratic norms, and everything that Trump has done to my city of Chicago is absolutely insane. It's definitely fascistic. And there's just no doubt about it.
All right, time's up. See you next time.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, hi.
I would like to choose the blue shirt guy.
God damn it, Mutin!
The reason why I chose you is because you very clearly challenged me and knocked me off for a second on the Medicaid thing, and I actually, that was good. It was a good debate, and I want to continue a discussion on your claim. Let's hear it.
Perfect, I appreciate it. Well,
of course.
My claim will be going back to that first
thing
we talked about earlier, is that the left in the United States is far more fascist than the right in the United
States. Really? How do you define
fascist? Yes, we'll start off that. So I define it as one that wants totalitarian rule, and it aims to establish that by dissenting forcibly opposing views.
How do you define totalitarian?
I'd say authoritarian, totalitarian, just like one party.
Okay, so how does this describe Joe Biden or any Democrat, more so than the person who denied elections, more so than the person who is literally indicting his political opponents? We can talk about the indictments. Do you think that?
Let's talk about the indictments.
I would love to talk about that.
So you brought three sets of diamonds earlier with Letitia James Comey, and the third one was.
Well, it was more that Donald Trump sent out a post naming three people.
Correct. Let's just dive into the details of those because you said that's an example of fascism on the part of
President. Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's dive into each of those. So Letitia James was indicted for mortgage fraud, and there's actually, if you read the indictment, there's pretty good evidence that Letitia James is actually guilty of mortgage fraud.
Nope.
James Comey, I don't think they've unsealed that indictment yet. We don't know exactly what he's been charged for. Yes. But Michael Cohen, who's obviously a super anti-Trump guy, even went on MSDNC, MSNBC, same thing, and said that James Comey is probably guilty of those charges, and John Bolton has been indicted.
Listen, my problem is not with Letitia James. I actually think it's fine for this investigation to go on to Letitia James, and I think she should be tried by a jury of her peers. But the problem is Eric Siebert, who is a federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Virginia, a very well-respected guy, he was told to indict those three people, and he refused. He refused to bring those indictments. Do you know what happened to him?
Yeah, he resigned.
Trump forced him to resign and threatened him. And then that week, Donald Trump...
If the prosecutor isn't going to do the job, they should 100% resign.
If prosecutor is the one who designs, then absolutely.
You're not going to indict who they tell you to indict? States,
to number one, force them out of their job, and number two, direct people. Okay, so can you name Joe Biden doing that to anybody?
Yeah, him directing Merrick Garland to an open investigation.
But how so?
No, he did. He did.
That's one of the things that Joe Biden said in the inauguration.
He never said that.
He did. Him and other prominent Democrats called for President Trump to be held accountable for January 6th.
He never
said what Merrick Garland was doing.
No, no. So wait, you think that Trump directly, you know the Pam Bondi tweet I'm talking about? When Trump tells Pam Bondi, he says, Pam, I need you to indict these people.
Yes, that is
not the president. You're never going
to
figure it out.
The president of the United States is not supposed to direct his attorney general.
I don't think it's real.
One more time. When did Joe Biden direct Merrick Garland? And can you quote it? Because what you just said was a lie. Joe Biden never directed Merrick Garland.
It's pretty obvious that Joe Biden directed Merrick Garland. He hired Merrick Garland. That was when Merrick Garland.
Okay, we're hashing out. Good luck.
It's obvious that Biden did it, but you have no evidence. But this obvious tweet from directing Pam Bondi is not enough in your eyes.
It doesn't matter if it's public or private. The fact of the matter is that on the right, we actually prosecute people for real crimes they committed. Whereas on the left, they make up crimes. For example, the one crime that Donald Trump got committed on the state of New York by Letitia James.
Falsifying business records. 34 times.
They had to combine two separate crimes. They could combine them into one, extend the statute of limitations just to charge President Trump on it. Do you know the mechanism for how they found him guilty? What did they find him guilty of?
Falsifying business records 34 times.
What the actual crime was that they were alleging?
Yeah, he was trying to pay Stormy Daniels and they lied about the payments.
Yep. Yeah, they said that he should classify, I believe, as a campaign expense.
Yep.
I personally don't think that should be classified.
Oh, but the jury did. The jury thought it was. So you disagree with the jury of Trump's peers that were picked through the process of voir dire by Trump's own lawyers?
It was obviously politicized trial.
But the Letitia James trial isn't politicized.
No, because there's actual evidence of mortgage fraud.
Wait, Trump committed the crime. Should he be charged?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't commit
the crime. I'm gonna get my inventory ready to go. Okay.
I've read the indictment, and it went through not only a grand jury, the indictment, but then an actual jury.
It's
Donald
so
Trump and his lawyers.
A grand jury. That's not evidence.
Of course, yeah. I can use the same thing with Letitia James.
It's so easy to get past a grand jury. Wait, well, what's going on with this grand jury that wasn't returning positive indictments on other people that Trump's trying to indict?
Literally, they say that a grand jury can indict a ham sandwich.
So before you call it fascistic, why don't you actually see the evidence and let the trial play out?
You're not engaging with what I'm saying.
Sure, let's move to the other reasons why the left's more fascistic. So the main reason why I would say that is the rise of political violence that we have seen on the left, especially in the recent years with Donald Trump attempting to be assassinated twice and Charlie Kirk's actual assassination.
That is
the textbook definition of fascism. You don't see that on the right.
Weren't both Donald Trump's attempted assassins Republicans?
Right. Do you think you don't see that on the right?
No. When was the last time that Joe Biden had an assassination attempt, or Barack Obama, or Bill Clinton,
or
any prominent Democrat politician?
Melissa Hortman and her husband and her dog were shot in their home. They were shot in their home by Vance Bolter.
You're talking about the Minnesota lawmaker case? Yeah. What is your evidence that's right wing? That he was right wing?
He was
appointed by Tim Walz.
The guy had a list of Republicans going to their houses. The guy had a list of Democrats he was going to their houses. I misspoke. And he was trying to take them out. He killed Melissa Hortman and her dog and her husband.
By Democrat lawmaker
Tim Walz. This is not true. This dude was a Republican. He was a Republican. Are you claiming that this was Democrat on Democrat violence? What is your claim here?
There's absolutely no evidence that it was Republican on Democrat violence. There's also no evidence.
He was not appointed by Tim Walz. He was a part of some board that Tim Walz was also a part of.
What's your evidence that he was motivated by right-wing politicians?
A few things. He left, or in jail, he said that he did this because he doesn't like Democrats. I promise you, he told someone this in jail. He also literally went to, I think it was five different Democrats' house, but only two families were home, and he killed Melissa Hortman, and then he shot the man, but he survived.
Sure, and so here's the big difference.
There's evidence.
What happened with Charlie Kirk and President Trump. On the right, you really don't see anyone celebrating that. On the left, you absolutely see people celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. You saw people on TikTok and Instagram saying that they hope that the shooter who shot President Trump missed. They're like, how can he miss? That would never happen.
Here's the difference.
On the right. We don't
here's
celebrate assassination.
Remember when this literally happened, when Donald Trump made fun of Schneider and called it TDS? But I don't think that event had happened yet, because this was a few months ago, so that hadn't happened yet, unfortunately for him.
You guys do.
Can you name one Democrat in power who celebrated?
One Democrat in power celebrated?
Yep. Nope.
My point is that this is a cultural problem with the left.
No.
The left as a whole, their culture is fascistic.
So you can't name one Democrat in power who celebrated, but when Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, had his head bashed in with a skull, had his skull bashed in with a hammer from somebody who supports Donald Trump, Trump and Don Jr. posted memes about that. They posted memes about it the next day. Do you think there's a difference between somebody in power making fun of a violent crime versus random people online?
I think that is indicative when you have the entire left as a whole.
Answer my question. No, is there a difference between somebody in power?
There is a difference, because when you see an entire political ideology, the whole, like pretty much the entire grassroots leftist operation.
So now you're categorizing my entire party as like what, a violent ideology?
I think that on college campuses, as a president of College Republicans of America, when chapters across country tell me that they're tabling on campus, you have people coming up celebrating that Charlie's death, that is indicative of a cultural problem with the left. That is that you just don't see on the right. You just don't see
you
on the right.
Absolutely do.
When was the last time you've ever been on a college campus and see someone on the right, you know, trying to celebrate political
I don't violence? Even have to look at college students. I can look at the actual leaders of the party who are making fun of Paul Pelosi. What about Mike Lee? Senator Mike Lee or Representative Mike Lee made fun of Melissa Hortman and made jokes about it. Do you condemn that?
I don't know what jokes did he make.
He was saying that it was something about the shooter being, I don't even know. He was making a bunch of jokes about the shooter doing this for some crazy reason, and then he got confronted in Congress.
Oh, and then Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever. Or Wall Street.
Are you saying that he was making fun of people on the left saying that it was politically motivated? Then no, I don't
know. No, he was making fun of Melissa Hortman days after she died. Okay, do you think it's okay for Trump to post like AI videos of Paul Pelosi or whatever? He posted an AI video of Nancy Pelosi laughing about Paul Pelosi.
I didn't see the video, so I can't say. But I can say again, I didn't see
people on college campuses doing this, so I can't say.
You can pretty easily look at social media and find people celebrating it. I mean, like you said earlier, you have people posting.
But no Democrats in power.
What do you mean no Democrats in power?
You're saying
if you want to talk about Democrats trying to get power, we could talk about the Virginia AG candidate Jay Jones, who said that he hopes that people on the right kids die.
I condemn that.
You condemn that. Perfect. So then he should drop out of the race.
Sure. Can you name a single Democrat in power who didn't condemn that?
The person who's running for Virginia's governor.
In a debate last week, she said, of course, I condemn it. Even Jay Jones
didn't condemn enough to tell him to drop out of the race.
She should tell him to drop out. But here's the fundamental difference right now. You are pointing to people on my side, and you can't name a single Democrat in power who made fun of Charlie Kirk. You can't name a single Democrat in power who said that Jay Jones, what he said was good. I can point to multiple.
We have many people like in AOC who come out after the fact of Charlie's assassination, said he was a racist and against memorializing an American hero in Congress.
Hero?
Okay. There's a fundamental difference.
Pundits are American heroes now? Oh my God. Eat shit, you loser. What a soy position.
Between the way the two parties function, and it's because Stephen Miller the other day said the Democratic Party is not a political party, it's a domestic extremist organization.
When you have, people of that political party going out and celebrating the death of the other side, then
you think it's okay to categorize the entire party?
100% needs to be de-radicalized.
Wait, you think the entire party?
The Democratic Party needs to be de-radicalized.
Okay, but you can't name a single Democrat.
It is a problem when the base of your party is celebrating the death of the other side. It's a problem when people of your party are openly calling for death of people like Charlie Kirk. It is a problem when the motives of the shooter are very clear that it was emboldened by Democrat politicians when they have catched this fascist.
What? It wasn't clear.
That Democrat politicians, like rhetoric around Donald Trump being a fascist.
You can't name a Democratic politician who celebrated
assassination. That's the reason that Donald Trump was tried to be assassinated. That's the same reason that Charlie Kirk was assassinated.
Is there any proof that Thomas Matthew Crooks was even a liberal? What's your proof?
That Thomas Matthew, he donated to Act Blue?
That's not true.
What do you mean it's not true? Yes, it is. He registered as a Republican solely for the purpose of coming after Donald Trump and voting in Nikki Haley in the primary.
So this is your proof. He was like 20 when this happened.
What do you mean he was 20? What does that
mean? He didn't donate in the last election cycle.
It was obvious that he was a Democrat, like I said, because he donated to Act Blue before.
Wait, so it's obvious he's a Democrat.
In 2021, apparently, he donated $15 to something, but he was a registered Republican since then.
But Melissa Hortman Shooter, who had a list of 6 different Democrats, isn't a Republican. Do you see the double standards here?
Not at all.
Throughout this entire debate, you guys are able to draw connections, even with Pam Bondi. You said that Biden, there's no actual proof of Biden asking Merrick Garland to do this, but the proof of Trump asking Pam Bondi to do this isn't enough proof.
Again, the proof is that Merrick Garland on day one did after being appointed from Biden.
He didn't. He slow walked.
He literally didn't on day one.
Biden never asked him to do that. Because there's a clear, Merrick Garland was a pussy. He was somebody who slow walked every single case. Yeah. He was absolutely a pussy. I mean, if he was actually as strong as you guys thought he was, then Trump would probably be in jail for trying to overthrow the 2020 election right now.
There's no crime there, but.
Time's up.